heat. Feel, 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 feel my heat.
I think we should repeat that again.
Feel, 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 feel. Feel my heat.
Feel my heat.
Yeah.
Tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, bleeds out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
It's 90% bullshit.
What is entertaining?
Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What? What? Not tomorrow, not after breakfast. Now!
Arrogance.
You are shit. Y'all see what I'm tapping? Shut up! Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. Hathuri, what are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Fuck off.
Shut up!
Classy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fucking funny. I'm fucking entertaining. Fuck you.
Alcoholism.
Kenny is a functioning alcoholic.
See, I have an alcohol issue.
Issue?
Yeah, it's an issue. It's an issue. I'm not a problem. It's just an issue.
I'm my own kind of reckless disaster. I'm fucking German. I might be Jewish, too. But I was a fucking Jedi.
Kenny likes to drink.
I was drunk. Let's all go skinny dipping. My problem is, I don't have a problem. I work all day. I come home. I have a couple of drinks. It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Arrogance and alcoholism. The Conti and Kenny Show.
Here are some more people who, well, ought to be strapped into chairs and beaten with hammers.
The vision is renewed. The power is reawakened. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's the Conti and Kenny Show. November 4th, 2013. That's right, I'm a stupid motherfucker.
You don't have to say it again. I know I'm a stupid motherfucker.
Die.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. It is the Conti and Kenny Show on morelikeradio.com. And I am, of course, Joe Conti. My cohort, Kenny, should be joining me any moment. Kenny just flew into Pittsburgh. He got into Pittsburgh and got to his hotel. He called me about 20 after 6 our time and told me that he was about 20 minutes away from the hotel. So he's just going to go right into his hotel and get his stuff together. And then join me via Skype as soon as possible. Oh, we got everybody in the chat room. And I mean everybody. The person's name is everybody. Hello, everybody. How are you? If you are listening via the TuneIn app, if you want to go into the chat room, go to morelikeradio.com/live. And you can go in the chat. And when you go in, click on the thing that says change username. Right? And then this thing comes up. And it's a slash, and it says Nick. And then the cursor's right there. You punch in, you type in whatever nickname you want. That's what Nick means. It means nickname. And you type in whatever, you hit enter, and then it says guest so-and-so is now known as, and whatever you like it to be. So you get to have, and every time you can be a different person. It's like Halloween. You get to be something different every Halloween. And every year we seem to find more and more people that are either getting fired or making the news because of their costumes. And we'll be talking about that later. But let me just get through the stuff that I have to get through. The phone number, right now we just have Skype. So if you want to Skype us, it's NPN Studios. And of course our sponsors are Adam and Eve. If you go to adamandeve.com and you want to buy anything from Adam and Eve, just put in deal 48 and you can get some special deals. And basically it lets people know that you heard it from this show and or any other, basically from this network, More Like Radio. And then you can go to tfury.com and get yourself a t-shirt. I don't know exactly what it is, the name of it, the actual URL, tiny URL dash something. Go to T-Fury. I don't know what to say. Hey, Glenn D is in the chat. Glenn D is, are you Glenn D? Of course, your brother-in-law is one of my oldest friends. You know, is that you? I just want to make sure if that's you or not. So in the chat room, just type in yes or no. And you know who I'm talking about. Your brother-in-law, my good friend, that's how we know each other. But yeah, hopefully more people will be joining the chat as the day gets, as the show goes along. And of course, there's Combat Zone Wrestling. That's czwrestling.com. Wrestling like you've never seen before. I just made that up. I'm not sure exactly what their mantra is, but... it is. Of course it is. Yeah. What's up, Glenn? You big galoot. So, but yeah, the phone number, like I said, but go into the chat, morelikeradio.com/live. Cause right now, until Kenny gets in touch with me, I'm going to be doing this on my own. Oh, there it is. tinyurl.com/MLRTs. TEES. Not as in, like, you're a tease, but as in tease shirts. And I actually bought a couple. I bought one for my my girlfriend's son, and because he liked the one that happened to be, because it's like a different one every day. It might go a little bit longer than another day, but, and it's just all these different artists, and they just put their artwork in, and then they make t-shirts out of it just for a day, and then the shirt's gone. So it's kind of cool. You get like pretty cool original, and that's what everybody's looking for, to be original t-shirt that you can put on. And a lot of it has to do with nerd references and comic books and all sorts of stuff. So definitely tinyurl.com/MLRTs. All right. I figured I would start off, since this would be something I was going to tell Kenny anyway, but it's more of a monologue. I had an interesting weekend. I had two shows this weekend, and both shows were not the best shows, in a sense where there wasn't a lot of people at the first show, but still a good show. But the second show, we went out to Pennsylvania. It was me and my buddy Johnny Watson, this guy Alex Baccia, who I'm friends with, and Anthony Crescenzo. And it was at this place. We were out in Oliphant, Pennsylvania. So if you know where Oliphant, Pennsylvania is, move. I don't know what else to tell you. Get out of there, because there's nothing there. No matter where you are in Pennsylvania, whenever you pull into a town in Pennsylvania, you think you're in another town that you were in Pennsylvania 2 years earlier. So many times I've been driving through and I go, oh yeah, I've been here. This is so-and-so. And it never is. All the towns look exactly the same. They really do. It's nice. I just don't like Pennsylvania that much. I mean, it's pretty and all that, but their winters blow. It stinks. So we get to this show, and it's a bar, but it's got this nice area set up for comedy. And so we're like, you know what? The guys are cool with letting us. Yes, that is Glenn. That's French for elephant. Yeah, Oliphant. Yes. So we get to this gig, and wasn't that many people there, but there was, you know, it was okay. Not too bad. And they were cool with us. They said, you guys can have anything to drink you want, anything to eat, whatever. And we're like, hey, you know what? Is it cool? And we could pretty much done whatever we want with the show. So we basically, it was going to be a 4-man show. And what happened was Johnny Watson, who was basically got me the gig and got us all the gig. Excuse me. He knew this other comic who like lived in the area. And so he came down and, you know, he was like, yeah, if you want to do a spot. So now it's a 5-man show. But whatever, you know, one guy hosting it. Anthony was going to host it. Then Alex was going to do a spot. Then this kid was going to do a spot. And then I was going to go up and quote through the feature. And then Johnny's going to close it out. So about 10 minutes before the show starts, about 11 guys walk into the bar, you know, which you can still see from where, you know, we're setting up for the comedy thing. They were just golfing and drinking all day. And we're like, this is not good. You know, a couple of older guys and some younger guys in their 20s and 30s. And they're, you know, how would you say, you know, kind of hammered, a little loud. And the guy who was running the bar, who runs the comedy, was like, dude, I'll take care of it. You know, don't worry about it. So now you have to understand, on the road, on the ride up there, it was like a 2-hour ride. Comics get together and all we do is talk about friggin' comedy. You know, sometimes we'll get into other stuff. But we're talking about, it was Aggravate Joe Conte ride. That's what it was. Because we were talking about a certain comic that, they know aggravate the shit out of me. So they were just, antagonizing me. And then we're talking about this other comic who, he was doing a feature spot at this club, Scotty's, in Springfield, New Jersey, which is a very nice club. And they like me and they have me work there. I'm actually going to be there tomorrow night doing some show, Tuesday night, some 7:30 show, the Fat Boys of Comedy, PHATZ. But if you look up Scotty's Steakhouse, Scotty's Comedy Room, you can check it out. But anyway, so I find out that this guy, during the middle, they threw him out of the club halfway through a weekend, because they always do Friday and Saturday shows. What happened was the one Friday during a show, he's up there and he wasn't even the fucking closer. He was the feature act. And they were saying that he was very combative. No, it wasn't Punchy. Punchy is not combative. Stop it, little Matt. So finding out that they were saying that he was very, very combative with the audience and blah, blah, blah. And it was a pretty decent crowd. They said it was probably, you know, 60, 70 people there. Like a, you know, pretty, you know, decent amount of people. And what this guy does, and I know who this guy is. I met him like once or twice. And he asks the waitstaff to get everybody a shot in the audience. Not, hey, the shot's on me. It's, hey, stop. I want everybody to order a shot so we can all raise a toast to his celebrating 10 years in comedy. I got so friggin' aggravated at the balls and the gall of that half of these delusional pricks in this friggin' business that I am in have the absolute audacity. First of all, you're going to stop a show to actually say, all right, everybody, stop what you're doing. I want you to get everybody a shot of something and assume that everybody's going to drink the same thing, right? Because everybody likes the same drink, right? And you're not buying it. You're basically just saying, this is the time to order the shot, everybody, because we have to celebrate my career in comedy. First of all, nobody knows who you are, okay? You're the feature act. And let's face it, and everybody who's ever been to comedy shows, unless it's a very big name, you don't really know who the comics are. You know what I mean? You got a host, you got a feature, you got a closer. And, you know, a lot of times these guys end up being, you know, very, very popular. But it's like, even if you were the closer, if they don't know you, they don't know you. We're up there trying to get them to enjoy us, that hopefully when we're done, they'll want to know us and want to keep us in there, you know, whatever. Like, hey, come see me again, you know? That's what it's all about. So this arrogant asshole decides to do that. And of course, they say no. They were like, you know, the owners were like, what is this guy doing? So they basically were like, look, you're done. And it was a Friday night. So that after he was done with his set, they were like, don't come back. We'll get somebody else. So now I'm fired up over that. Stop in the chat. A little Matt's got a thing. So stop being a cunt. I don't know who that's for, but I hope it's not me. All right. So now this has me completely fired up. I am so aggravated because I hate delusional, blowhard, dickhead, full of themselves, and most of them are full of themselves for no reason comics. Hate them. I hate everything about them. There's nothing worse than somebody with no humility who thinks they're great and has to tell everybody they're great, okay? So now, you know, we get to the show, and now we're doing our thing, and the show starts, and I was a little worried. We were a little worried about the guys in the back for the, you know, who were golfing and drinking. But Anthony goes up and he's hosting and he's doing okay job. You know, everybody was listening, which is amazing. I was amazed. I'm like, oh my God, everybody's listening. They weren't raucous. You know, they were kind of spread out. So it wasn't like this big booming crowd with a bunch of laughs, but you know what? Doing an okay job. So he goes up, does his little bit. Now he brings up Alex. And Alex goes up and does a fine job. And, you know, they're listening and get some laughs. And, all right, this is cool. So the crowd, it's starting to build a little bit. Like, at any moment, this could fall apart. Could completely fall apart. You got, like, 10, 11 drunk guys in the back who didn't know there was going to be comedy, like, you know, who just came from golfing. And they're kind of listening. They're talking a little bit, but they're okay. And I'm like, all right, cool. And so now this kid who Johnny said, hey, if you want to come down and do a spot. So Anthony goes up, does like 10 minutes. This kid, Alex, who was supposed to host it, he does like 15. And so I'm going to do like 20, 25. So this kid comes up, this guy, whatever the fuck, I don't know how old he was. He goes up and, you know, you do a guest spot. You do 7 minutes, you know, whatever. So he's up there doing his thing and he's not getting any laughs. But nobody was getting a lot of laughs at all. It wasn't that type of a show. It wasn't that type of a night. And okay. They're making fun of me in the chat room because I got a bloody nose during the Narc Zito fundraiser. So anyway, so now this kid is up there and he's doing his thing and he's not getting any laughs. But whatever. It's not that type of a thing. And some guy from the back said something, whatever. It was like a, hey, you know, whatever. And they might have been chatting a little bit. And this dick, like three quarters through his 7-minute set, starts like attacking. And the one thing is that, look, if you have, you know what I mean? It's like if you have a dog that is like, you know, it's on a leash and it's kind of, you know, you can tell that it could get fucking fired up and want to start biting you at any moment. You don't antagonize it. So you don't antagonize the drunks in the back, especially if they're not being that disruptive. And you don't really want to involve them. Don't really acknowledge them, because when you acknowledge drunks, that is when they're just going to kind of just go into it and just start, they're talking to me, you know, and it's all about them. And then they just blah, blah, blah. So somebody said something. It wasn't that bad. And maybe they were gibbering a little bit in the back. And this fucking kid is like, hey, who's talking back there? What the fuck's your problem? Shut the fuck up. What the fuck? And I'm going, no, this kid is not doing what I think he's doing. So he's like antagonizing. And I got so angry, and I never do this. And I think everybody who knows me knows that I always, you know, I always mind my own business and I don't say anything. I stood up and I don't know how loud I said it. I don't know, but I got so aggravated because I'm going next, by the way. So, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? Let me just make a complete mess of the house and then you could come in and clean it up. That's basically what seemed to be going to happen, because now he's antagonizing the drunk guys in the back. So he said, what the fuck's this guy's problem? And now the guy's like, douche, you know, because obvious, whatever. They weren't really saying anything. It wasn't like it was this real, you know, combative thing. It was just, they're drunks. They're talking in the back a little bit. You're fucking three quarters through your dumb set, your guest spot. And so I stood up, like, I'm like 20 feet away from the kid, you know, like to the side, like, cause I'm getting ready to go up and I'm just going, just do your 5 minutes. Just do your 5 minutes and get off. Like, I said it about as loud as I said it here. So I don't know if he heard me, but I was so pissed. So now he gets off and he goes and sits down and he's with these two broads, one girlfriend and some other pig. I don't know, whatever. And now I get up on stage and I got to do now 20, 25 minutes. And, you know, and whatever. I'm not going to sit there and toot my horn, but I did okay. You know, you work the crowd a little bit. You talk to them and you kind of get them involved. And there was the people on the left, they were more packed in and they were really good and it's starting to go, and I'm looking down and I look at this kid and he is just staring at me with his arms folded with a puss on his face, like looking at me like, oh, look at this jerk off, like a hack, or you know, look at this jerk off getting like he was some sort of, like, he's somebody special and I'm a jerk off because I'm actually getting some laughs. And I wasn't doing, you know, hack material, like, you know, whatever. I was just up there trying to involve these people and get the crowd going again. And he's looking at me, and I kept it with me where I actually went, listen, and I stopped and I looked over at Johnny Watson. I go, Johnny, we got to talk after the show. But I almost went, what the fuck are you looking at, you open micer? You're fucking giving me a look. I'm up here fucking almost cleaning up the mess that you almost made. And you're going to give me a look like I'm an asshole? I was like, dude, just sit there and learn. Like, I wanted to be a complete jerk, and I didn't. I kept it back, and I just said, all right, whatever. I'm going to be a good boy and a professional and do my thing. And I just, and I did okay. And then Johnny did his thing, and Johnny did well. And then after the show's over, like, the girls weren't even, like, watching. Like, once he was done, they were outside smoking cigarettes or whatever Pennsylvania fucking broads do. And then, like, Johnny didn't even know what was going on. So I told him afterwards, and he goes, wow, really? And I was like, yeah. He goes, it's kind of fucked up, because he didn't even say thank you when he left. This kid didn't even thank Johnny for the spot. Probably because it didn't turn out well, because he didn't get a lot of less. That's not the point. Somebody said, hey, come down and do a guest spot. You say thank you at the very least.
show a little bit of gratitude. And I don't know if this, he could be a nice kid. I don't know. But you know what? Maybe he caught me on a bad night, and maybe I'm just a bitch. Maybe I'm just a twat, but I was furious, and I just, you know what, man? I call it big dick syndrome, and especially when it comes to comics, because that's all I know. I don't know where musicians are. I don't hang out with musicians, but it's this big dick syndrome. These comics, when you're a comic and you have to go around and bragging and telling how great you are, it's that big dick syndrome. It's like no guy who has a really big dick tells people he has a big dick. You know why? Because he's got a big dick. He doesn't need to say it. Okay? So it's like whenever over the years I've met a comic or, you know, who just has this thing about him and he has to kind of let people know how good he is, it's a rarity that they're any good. It's usually when they just stink. And, you know, look, it doesn't mean, like, every comic always says, oh, I stink, I'm not good. And you know, it's kind of our way of covering ourselves, because, you know what, we know we don't stink, but it's not like, you know, the 15-year-old girl, what's he talking about? Why are you calling me Norton, little Matt? I'm being serious. I'm saying, oh, no, Norton doesn't do that. Stop. is that, these guys, now you threw my friggin' train of thought. You threw it off, little Matt, you bastard. Is that, there's a difference between, like, you know, the 15-year-old girl going, oh, I'm fat, when she's not, because she just wants people to go, no, you're not fat, you're skinny. You know, if you say, eh, you know what, I did okay. Or even, you know, little Matt brings up Norton. Like, he brings up Jim Norton. And I'll be honest, man, you listen to Jim Norton whenever somebody calls in and tells Jim Norton, oh, dude, I saw you. I don't think he thinks he's the best. But you know what? Whether he thinks he's the best or not, he doesn't act it. Because whenever they ask Jim Norton, how did his show go, or whatever, you know what Jim Norton says? He says, they were great. It was a great show. They were great. Whether it's, and with Jim Norton, it's usually talking about a city. I'm talking about a fucking a place. He's talking about a city. So it's like, oh, how was Boston? Oh, they were great. They were awesome. They were a great audience. It was a great show. That's a guy who doesn't have to tell people he's great, because why would you do that? You know what I mean? Enough people have told him that, but he knows. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't need to tell people you're great. People can tell you. So it's like when people say, are you funny? I love when people do that. They find you're a comic, like, oh, are you funny? It's like, I don't know. People think I'm funny. Not everybody. Come see me. And then you can make the decision for yourself. So that's all I'm saying, is that there's this arrogance that goes along with this delusion where they think they're a lot better than what they are. And it doesn't, look, when me and my friends, you know, comic friends, and we're talking, listen, there are nights where we will go, dude, I fucking had this show and I fucking murdered, or whatever. But you don't do it as braggadocious. You kind of look at her and you go, hey, bro, man, you know, it was great. How was your show? Dude, it was fucking awesome, dude. I fucking killed the place. But you almost say, and that's what's great about James, who books the comedy shop, and he's been around us for years. He always says, the one thing I can't understand about you guys always think so terribly of yourself. But even when you do well, you almost act like you're surprised that you did well. And it's like, yeah, when we do well, it's like we say it in that weird way. It's like there's a difference between going, yeah, hey, Bobby, how'd you do last night? Pah, fucking killed him. It was unbelievable. I fucking smashed him in the face. Yeah, that's what I do. Or somebody where you go, hey, man, how was your show last night? Dude, it was fucking awesome. Fucking, I just murdered them. They were great. You know, like, you always include the audience. I think most great comics, no matter how great they say they are, they'll always say, oh, the audience was awesome. Because that's what makes a great show, a great comic and a great audience. So I just think there's a big difference. And most of my friends, comic friends, are like that. It's that little bit of self-loathing. It's never being 100% happy with yourself. which is why you want to get better and better and better and work more and more and write more material or work on your material or just going out there and doing it. So I think it just makes it, it's, you know, it's just like anything else. You don't want to hang out with somebody who's a bragger. You know, you don't want to hang out with a friend of yours. All he does is brag about how many chicks he bangs or you know, how much money he makes. I mean, you can talk about it, but there's a difference between being proud of something that what you do and bragging about it and just showing off. I mean, it's a basic type of behavior. It's just that when I'm dealing with it, I deal with it with comics and you're dealing with crazy people. And, you know, and then there's that delusion. So illusions of grandeur. Yeah. Illusions or delusions, whichever ones you want, little Matt. But it's just so it was just a weird night. We had a great time. We had a lot of laughs and we were. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's funny. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. But yeah, these kind of look like the oh, my God. They're putting pictures of girls in the in the chat room, kind of looked like the guy's girlfriend. Scrambler, a comic can only be so funny. If the audience feeds him, he can be great. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's the sign of a true great comic, like a Jim Norton. Yeah, Jim Norton to his, you know, privately or he calls his mommy and says, "Oh my, and so how was your show last night, mommy? I did great. It was just awesome, you know." But when you're, you know, people say, what do you say? Oh, they were awesome. The audience was great. Because he knows he did well. He knows he's a good comic. So I'm using Jim Norton because that's the references that, you know, we're using in the chat room. And most of the people in the chat know Jim Norton. And whether they like him or not, they know the comic Jim Norton, who I respect greatly. I find him to be a great comic. And also, I will say one. I have one complaint about Jim Norton. Jim Norton, between Jim Norton, Otto, and Bob Levy, I think they have spawned more bad fucking comics who just fucking go out there and do abortion jokes and rape jokes. Not very well, like a guy like Jim Norton will do. You know, like he just has this way of being very funny and clever and horrible at the same time. So, and because of him, there's a whole generation of comics who want to be like him, and they sound a lot like him, but without his real raw talent and humor. So, but anyway, that was my weekend. That was my Saturday night. Well, thank you, Glenn. Well said, brother. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, going back to what Scrambler said. A comic can only be so funny. If the audience feeds him, he can be great. And when I met my hero, George Carlin, I got to meet George Carlin. It was November 2002. And the one thing that he said to us when we met him, it was backstage at one of his shows. It was at the old Westbury Music Theater, Westbury Music Fair in Long Island. And he was in the round. And he took time to meet us because my friend Matt Bridgestone, when we were all doing our thing when we first started, he bugged the hell out of George Carlin via email until George Carlin said, "Why don't you come down, you and your buddies come down and see me, and I'll get you free tea." Got us free tickets, and we got to meet him. So when he walked in, it was great. He walks up to us, there's like six of us, and we're like, "Oh my God, you know, a god is walking towards us," and he looks at us and goes, "So are you the boys who talk shit for a living?" And we're like, "Not the way you talk shit, sir, you know." And I always remember one thing he said, and I've heard him say it a couple times. He said to us, you know, "One thing of advice I'll give you, if you have good stuff and you know that it's good and it works on like a Thursday night, and you know what, and it works on a Friday night, when it doesn't work and when they're just and it's just stinking, just remember, it's always them. It's always them. Never put it on you." And I'm sitting there going, "Oh my God, this icon of comedy is actually telling us that it's the audience's fault." But I know what he means. He's saying that if it is good stuff, once in a while, you know, and that's the mystery of comedy. You can have this 10-minute set and do four shows in one night, you know, in like three different clubs or whatever. And you could, it could be just great, 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 and then sucked. It's like people are dying. They're just going crazy. And then you get a set and you get nothing. Like, these people hate you. And he's saying it's them. It's the audience. Now, granted, there are certain, you know, there's all these different aspects where, you know, sometimes the timing's off, or, you know, you could be a little off because the show, it's like, you know, people aren't always, you know, like, they don't set people up right. Like, you know, they should have people sitting always as close together as possible and all these different things. But it's great to hear that from one of the greatest, to go, hey, don't let one audience throw you off. You know, it's like, hey, you know what? You talk to 10 chicks and 9 of them were kind of like, hey, you know, you're kind of nice. And then the one chick was like, you're a douche. And you're like, you know what? But that's what we do. We, as human beings, 100 people can walk up to you in one day and 99 of them will tell you, that's a nice shirt you got on, little Matt. And the, then what happens is you go, the one person says, what the fuck are you wearing that shirt for? And you focus and you're like, why did that person not like my shirt? What's wrong with my shirt? I have a nice shirt. It looks good on me. And that's what we do. We focus on the negative, because the negative, one negative will affect us more than 99 positive. Nah, Scrambler, I don't think so. I don't think we have a phone number yet. I haven't spoken to Frank today. I do apologize, although I really, I want to get this number in, because I would love for guys like Scrambler and Glenn and a couple other guys to call in and be, you know, part of the show and kind of, you know, help out. Not just because Kenny's not on the phone yet. I don't know where the fuck he is. It's, just checking in. Oh, let me see. He just texted me. Let me see. Oh, 7:14 he's checking in. Okay. So, maybe what I'll do, no, so I don't have a phone number yet, Scrambler, which sucks. Why don't you get Skype? Just get Skype on your computer and just call in. Do that. But maybe what we'll do is I will take a break and I'll try to play some interesting stuff. I won't just play the commercials, because the commercials are boring. But, you know, I'll play maybe like a cool mashup or whatever, but a couple things. So let's do that. Let's take a break, and hopefully when you get back, when I get back, Kenny will be on, or at least coming on, because he's checked in about 15 minutes ago. So we'll do that. Sorry if it was, look at this, as we speak. Kenny.
Hello there.
What's up, brother?
Oh, geez, I made it.
You did, man, dude. It's okay. Hey. I just did 40 minutes on my shitty weekend, and a couple of the guys in the chat room were good, and they helped me out. I was actually just about to take a break. I figured you were just checking in. I figured I would take a break, and then we'd start with you when we get back. But
that's no problem. Yeah, I just checked into. I'll tell you when we come back. But yeah, if you could do me a favor, I've got to make 2 quick phone calls, and then we're ready. So if you extend it a little bit, and then we'll be able to go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Did I come out? I just literally, I fucking ran up the stairs trying to check in. Oh man, but I made it. I'm here.
All right, cool. Let's do that. I'm gonna take a break and play a couple of fun promos and maybe some stuff they haven't heard in a long time. And maybe I might play this. All right, we're gonna play 3 commercials, and then I'm going to play a very old. What do you call those? I can't think of it. Song parody. And I'll just say, you know the song, but it's about a guy who's a drug addict whose drug dealer is gay. And it's one of the best song parodies I've ever heard.
Yeah, you remember that old Snappy 2, I'll Blow You for Coke? It was a hit back in the early 70s.
Of course, yeah. They played that during your graduation ceremony. I think that's what it was, Kenny.
Yeah, it's a mashup between Layla and Cocaine by Eric Clapton.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool. Then go do your thing.
And, yeah, I'll be right back.
And then we'll be right back. It's the Conti and Kenny show with Kenny on Kenny's back. So we'll be right back. MoreLikeRadio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Oh, yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh no! No! No!
God, oh no!
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful?
God. Not as painful as that. Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
Wake up, faggot. I think I've got something to say to you. Look at your member. It's heavily covered with my stool. I know that I'm confused. And maybe I enjoy being abused. But faggot, I couldn't have taken anymore. You gave
This is Rich Scheidner. I've been doing stand-up comedy since 1977. And you're watching the Conte and Kenny Show. You listen to them. Watch them. Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Do the whole thing. Keep up, people. Keep up.
Hey, hey. No swearing.
The Conte and Kenny Show.
Show.
It's a groovy tune.
Oh, nice. You're back. Cool, man.
Yes, I'm here.
Nice. So everything worked out all right? You're all signed in and you're all good?
I'm all set. I'm all ready to go. I got the little drinky poo.
All right.
I had to drive here, so I couldn't drink on the plane because I drove 5.5 fucking hours of zilch.
Was it just you or did you drive with somebody?
No, me and a work associate.
Work associate.
Yeah. I'm here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Very cool, man. Again. So, everybody, of course, it's the Conte Kenny Show, and Kenny is with me. And thanks for making it, dude. Because I don't know how long I would have done. 40 minutes. I was surprised I lasted 40 minutes, but these guys in the chat, Little Matt, Scrambler, Glenn D, they helped out, man.
Yeah, they said they wanted to Skype in. The Scrambler had a Carlin experience. So
if you want to Skype in, dude, just definitely Skype in because I would definitely be down with hearing that.
It's funny. Last 3 weeks, I've been in a different state each show.
You were in Texas.
Houston, then Missouri.
Then Missouri, and now Pittsburgh.
And now Pittsburgh.
Which is
and I will be in Clifton next weekend.
Are you going to be back?
I will be back, yep.
For sure?
For sure.
For real?
I promise.
For real,
for reals.
Yay.
For reals.
For reals, bro.
Yeah, and it's funny. I'm staying at a Holiday Inn Express, and normally they're just like room, a bed, TV, that's it, you know? Well, we booked last minute, and they didn't have any rooms, but we have I have an awards thing, and I'm a platinum member or whatever. And they gave me a nice little, I got a living room, nice big king-size bed, and a nice little jacuzzi over on the side.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a big-ass jacuzzi in the room.
Really?
Yeah. I'll send you a picture of it. I don't know how to post it on can you post videos on Facebook? I don't know how to post it in a chat room, but I'll send you one on the phone if you want to forward it.
Yeah, I might be able to. I'm trying to think of how I can do this. Yeah, you know what? Send it to me. I'll be able to put it in an email, and I might be able to put it in the chat room.
All right. Yeah, but it's nice. Nice jacuzzi.
Very cool, man. Very, very cool. Well, I'm glad that, you know what, dude, real quick, before we even get started, I think I might have to end the relationship with my girlfriend.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, about 8:16 this morning, I got a message on Facebook from, I'll read you the message. Hello, my name is Esther. I saw your profile and would I like to become friends and know each other a little bit more. Here is my email address, EstherJohnson71@Hotmail.com. Send me an email and I will tell you more about me. Thanks, Esther.
Esther Johnson, what is she funneling through 1930?
Yeah, well, it's black chick. It's spam. But I just thought it's funny. It's like, who is seeing this and thinking that they're going to hook up with a girl? I don't understand spam for any. I don't. A bit of crumpet on the side. I don't understand any of that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why would any, and I look, I get it. We're guys, we're horned up, but why would you think that's going to happen? It's obviously spam. There's not a girl that is there waiting for you because she saw your email address. Like, girls, you know, there's so much stuff that makes a girl want to like a guy. First of all, looks, and your email address doesn't, even your Facebook. It's like, why would you think that this is going to actually happen?
How do you think some girl's going to see Skywalker 585 and go, "Oh, I got to talk to this guy"?
Exactly. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm going to see if let me see. I got the, here it is. Let me see if I can put it in the chat room. Let me see. Open. All right. Now, let me see if I copy. Let me see if I can put this in the chat room. All right, it doesn't allow me to do it. Damn, I thought I could. I don't know how to do it.
That's all right. Well, you see the picture of it, though. That's a nice jacuzzi right there.
That's a nice jacuzzi over there. I tell you, you can get them a girl, you make a little wave here and there, and then a boom, little whirlpool. Or nothing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a schwitz later.
Yeah, I see you got the old iron there, the ironing board. That's actually a clean room.
Yeah, it's nice and clean. I'm going to turn that jet on later.
Nice.
Clean my genitals with the jet engine.
All right, cool. Well, that's very nice, dude. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, I'm very happy with my accommodations.
All right, cool. So now, when are you going to be back? When are you going to be back from this fucking nightmare of a trip?
Saturday afternoon.
Okay, yeah. So you'll be
back Saturday afternoon. I should be home for a while.
Kenny will be in studio next week.
Why did you? Yes, definitely. Why did you say you have to get rid of your girlfriend?
Oh, I was kidding about the Facebook thing. I was just saying, you know, I got this black, you know, this Nubian black princess that obviously wants me on Facebook. So I have to dump my girlfriend, you know? I have other options. It was sarcasm.
I got you.
Need you back in the studio so you can see my sarcasm a little better. So, dude, I got a lot of shit. First of all, I just want to mention everybody. I've been sending out more and more stickers. If anybody wants Conti and Kenny stickers, email it. You can email us at ContiandKennyAOL, or just send me a message on, if you want to DM me on Facebook or Twitter, you know, just, you know, send it to me and then I'll send you a couple of stickers. We'll pay for the postage and send it out to you. So if anybody wants it.
You know, AOL is just as old as Esther Johnson, so we get made fun of. Fuck you guys.
I know they're going to fucking let us have it for having AOL, but whatever. I mean, it's either that or send me a message. I've had a few people send me messages right on Twitter, and my Twitter account is Joe Conti Comic at AOL. It's at Joe Conti Comic. So find me on Twitter, send me a message, or Conti and Kenny at AOL email address, and we'll send you some stickers. All right, people? All right. So, yeah, man. So what else is going on with you, brother?
Not much. Not much at all.
Did you come back? You were in, and let me tell me if I'm right with this. You were in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You came back home for 2 days, went to Missouri.
One day.
Then flew back out to Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Then came back for 2 days and now drove out to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
That is just so ridiculous.
Something else, ain't it?
Oh, my God. You know what? I would have rather, and I don't even, I would have rather said, look, I'll drive, of course, from Houston to Missouri and then just fly from Missouri to Pittsburgh. Or, you know what I mean? Or drive. It wouldn't even, it would have probably been about a 12-hour ride. It probably would have been about a 12-hour drive to Pittsburgh, I'm guessing, from Missouri.
Yeah. Yes, somewhere around there. Not that much more.
I'll guarantee, because if to drive to Chicago, right, is like 12 hours. As I know, when we used to drive to Indianapolis, we got there in like 11 hours. And I know Chicago's like 2 hours north of Indy. So there's no way that Missouri, which is further out to Pittsburgh, is more than 12 hours.
Right, right. Yeah, it's all kind of, you know, border, you know, Pittsburgh borders Ohio.
Right.
So you're basically just puddle jumping.
Yeah.
But I wanted to stay out the entire time. I would have rather stay out 2 months than go home for 12 hours, wash my drawers.
That's awful.
And then go back onto a plane and terrible. Do the whole thing over.
Oh, just awful. Yeah.
It's not, once you're used to it, it's not that bad. The problem, I had a mental freak out late Saturday night. I actually won, okay. You guys did Turn the Clocks Back yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it? Yesterday, right? Last night?
Saturday night.
I did it a week ago already.
What?
There's some fucking weird time vortex that Central Time, I did it last week when I was in Missouri. I was at my computer. It said 8 o'clock. My phone said 6 o'clock, and the girl I was talking to ordering a sandwich, I'm like, what time do you guys stop delivering? She's like, oh, 8 o'clock. I'm like, oh, it's 6. I'll give you a call back in an hour. She goes, no, it's 7:15. So I was in some kind of weird fucking time vortex. And actually, I turned the clock back a week before you guys.
Get out of here.
If anyone can explain this to me, how this fucking works, feel free. Because it's a fucking wormhole in my trying to figure that shit out.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it was actually mind blowing because I'm like I didn't know where to find the right time. I didn't have a fucking telescope to like read the fucking stars with the sun and shit, you know, where the moon is, because I didn't know who to call. Well, who do you call, the fucking what scientist? What time is it? Where are you at? I don't know. Could be Pittsburgh. Could be Schenectady. Just fucking fix my watch, you jerk.
Dude,
off in
it's
a white
like...
coat, you fuck face.
It's just. Like, how could you have been a discrepancy of 3 hours and you have three different times? You know what I mean?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't hear me?
Hold on, you broke up. I'm sorry.
But how can you...
No, it got a little choppy. I'm sorry.
How can you be in a place where there's three different legitimate times? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and to do it a week before the East Coast, I didn't get it. I don't know how I can't wrap my mind around it.
So you may have accumulated. You may have
Little Matt says usually your phone updates the time zone.
Yeah, the phones do it, but you have to go and do your clocks. The cable and your cell phones automatically do it. So basically, dude, you accrued. You know how people accrue, like, you know, if they don't take vacation days, then they get them at the end of the year. And then you can take them or take the money. You accrued like extra hours of your life, so maybe you could take them at the end of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Instead of Halloween, I was celebrating Chinese fucking New Year for some reason.
Kenny was already into Ramadan.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I didn't eat all day. It was fucking awful. But Little Matt says usually your phone does it, but I actually had to turn my phone on and off. I had to take the battery out because I guess my phone was whacked out too, where it didn't know where it was.
Okay.
You know? But I still can't understand. I have to look it up. I still don't understand why the clocks and everything changed in Missouri last week, and then today, this week, yesterday, we do the East Coast. I don't get it. So Saturday night, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, pitch black. I'm sleeping. I'm kind of awake. Something has waken me up. I'm having some kind of a dream.
Right.
And I'm barely awake, and I freaked out because I didn't know where I was, and I didn't know what day it was.
So you're like Sam Beckett in Quantum Leap. You like woke up and you really didn't know where you were. I'm in a woman's body and I'm wearing a gymnastics outfit. Yes, it's the Olympics from 1972, and you're a Jew. Get out of Germany or wherever the that 72 Olympics were, where they attacked a Jewish actor. Okay, whatever.
I'm on the set of Facts of Life with a spatula up my ass.
And there's a very young
time frame am I in?
There's a very young tootie in front of me right now, and I'm not sure if I want to make out with her with the braces on. What should I do, Al? Oh shit, dude, that's just weird, man. Weird shit. That's like
Go ahead. Are you taking a sip? You know what we're probably going to do? It's a little choppy. I'm probably going to have to just recall you for 2 seconds.
Okay.
But I want to finish the story real quick. 3 o'clock in the morning, I've done it before where you kind of wake up and you're like, where am I? I'm like, all right, I'm home. If I don't remember what day it is, I'm not sure, I kind of get, not in a panic, but I'm like, is there school tomorrow? You know, remember how you would like you'd wake up and it'd be like Saturday, you know, it's Sunday, you know, Saturday night, and you're like, school tomorrow. And you get that kind of panic. That's what I had. And I didn't know what time it was and I didn't know where I was. So half conscious, I was trying to formulate of what area of the country I was in and what tasks that I have to fulfill the next day.
Right.
You know, I was trying to figure out what, but the apps, when that happens, this was a bad one. This was a bad one where it actually woke me up and I had to like take a deep breath and like really gather my surroundings and get my bearings. The absolute best feeling is when you have a moment of clarity and you're like, oh man, I got off tomorrow and the next day. And then you're like, oh shit, you dig into the blankets and you're like, hang on for the ride because I'm snoozing my cunt off now.
But did you see in the chat room, Scramble put this thing up. It shows, it looks like Indiana, right? And Illinois is in Central Standard Time. Then Indiana, most of it is in Eastern Standard Time with no daylight savings. And then Ohio and Kentucky is Eastern Standard with daylight savings. But then there's like six counties in the top left-hand corner, like four counties in the bottom left-hand corner of Indiana where they're Central Standard Time. And then to the right, there are parts of Indiana that are Eastern Standard with daylight savings. So it's like, it's a weird thing right there. When you get into the middle like that, I've heard about this where it's like, and plus, Arizona doesn't do the daylight savings because it gets too damn hot there, which the daylight saving thing is dumb. They need to stop it already. It's for the farmers, and we got like 8 farmers left in America, so it's just stupid.
Yeah, and a couple of years ago, well, when Bush Jr. was in office, he wanted to change it or do something. They tried it in like the 70s, and kids were getting run over by cars because it was dark out, and they were walking to school. Or something, they tried to do away with it, but like, who the fuck are you to command time? What kind of ballsy fucking grandiose personality do you have? I can change time. No, you can't.
I know, it's like...
The only one that could do that is the fucking sun.
Or Sam Beckett.
Or Sam Beckett, yeah.
Thank you. My favorite show of all time.
Yeah, let me stop time. Let me redo time. Let me do my own time. You kook.
When am I? I get it. Where am I? When am I?
I need some extra hours of sleep. 2 hours more.
Oh man, is it still choppy for you, bro? You want to call back?
No, it's a little better. It's a little better.
Okay.
It's good. It's good.
That's weird, man. That's like, think of the moment once in a blue moon, like say you passed out like on a Saturday afternoon, right? Taking a nap and it's 2 o'clock and you wake up at like 6 and it's dark and you look at the clock and you think it's 6 in the morning, you know, like...
You don't know what day it is.
You don't... For that one trillionth of a second, a billion things go through your head and you can't figure out what day it is in that moment of panic. You had that, like, during the day.
Multiply that by, like, I had it twice. Once during the day when I didn't actually know, you know, it was actually like 7 o'clock at night. And then multiply that when you wake up. Multiply that by about 20. That's the freak out I had Saturday night.
Oh, God. Little Matt in the chat room. The modern idea of daylight savings was first proposed in 1895 by George Vernon Hudson. And it was first implemented by Germany and Austria-Hungary starting on April 30th, 1916. Oh, enough with it. We had almost 100 years of it. Done. Don't need it anymore. You know, I mean, we make the... You're right, because now, right before that, like, the days leading up, like, the week before they changed it, the mornings, it was dark. You're right. It was dark until, like, 7:30. And I think that's what they were trying to avoid. Like you said, kids... You know, but you know what, everybody? Kids don't walk to school anymore. Every kid gets either dropped off right in front of the school, because I know, because I'm out driving around, and every school, it is a parade of about 200 cars all pulling up, going through the half circle. They don't even drop them off on the street and let them walk 500 fucking feet. They pull up right to the front. It is a parade of these fucking parents dropping their kids right. And they're not like, I'm not talking about 6 and 7 year olds. These are junior high school kids, like 7th grade. And they don't even like drop them off in front of the, like from the sidewalk, and they can walk in. There's like a little, like a half circle. And it's just a parade of cars going into the half circle and then dropping them off right in front. And it causes so much traffic. So you don't have to worry about kids walking to school because none of them do anymore. Which is good.
I remember when I was in junior high, if I was running late, I had to walk through the woods to get to school. It was scary, but it would take like 15 minutes off the walk.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I was freaked out.
Good. This is a good time to play this little game here. And I'm going to try to do... We're not going to go through all of them too much, but... Kenny, it's called 21 Shameful Ways We Are Forcing Children to Be Sissies. Okay?
All right.
Number one, we punish them for being brave. What they do is they come up with something, and then it's a quick little story. A Calgary student was scolded for being involved in an incident with a weapon. Sounds legit until you realize that he was stopping a potential stabbing from happening in his classrooms. School officials hope to make the wayward vigilante an example to any other student who foolishly makes saving a life for an act of heroism. So they basically, because he was stopping somebody from stabbing, he got in trouble because he was involved with a weapon. It's unbelievable, dude. It gets better, trust me. We make them fear friendship. A kindergarten girl was suspended for threatening to use a Hello Kitty bubble gum. Dude, a girl was temporarily removed from school for talking about using a bubble gun that she didn't even have with her. In a typical 5-year-old statement, the girl is quoted as saying she wanted to shoot herself and her friends with the gun so they could all be together.
I think that sounds like a joyous occasion. It's just a bunch of kids with a bunch of bubbles.
Yeah, exactly. Such adorably flawed logic melts the hearts of most people. But for her school district, it was enough to spur a 3-hour investigation.
Oh, my God, over a bubble gun. I tell you one thing. So speaking about kindergarten real quick, that there's the Sprint commercial. That's got to be one of the cutest kids on the planet. Where he's like, you see him, you know, the one guy sits around the table with the kids?
AT&T.
AT&T, I'm sorry, yes. Yeah.
And
she's like, you can't, you have to eat raisins quick or they're going to turn into grapes. And he's like, I don't think it works that way. And he's like, are you trying to win the cutest kid contest? She's like, yeah. And he's like, what place are you in? And she's like, kindergarten. And you're like, oh, what a cute kid.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to talk about that afterwards because I'm trying to figure out if they're scripted. I don't think they're scripted. I think they script his reactions to them, but I think they film a lot of them just goofing, and the little kids just get the. I don't think you can script what those kids are doing. I think it's kids just flying and letting them just do whatever they want to do, and then recording it and then using it in the commercial. They're great. I like them. Ready for this one, dude? Number three. Yeah. We don't let them be themselves. Deaf preschooler asked to change his name because ASL version looks like a weapon because of his sign language. One preschool is demanding that a deaf three-year-old change his name because the way he signs it could somehow be mistaken for a weapon. School.
It's either a long samurai chop motion or a handgun pointed sideways.
Exactly. School official claims that the whole thing is a big misunderstanding. But
he just does air nunchucks.
Dude.
Depending on if he's Italian.
The whole thing is they say it's a big misunderstanding, but are continuing to ask the boy to change his name, leading many to wonder what exactly the misunderstanding is. Like, are you kidding? Like, obviously his name looks like, it probably at one point looks like a gun. Like, finger and a thumb, a gun. Like.
No, I think it's like the Karate Kid stance or something. I think it's more. You know, one leg up with the crane.
You think you're doing a crane?
Absolutely. Or like the you know, the Cuban necktie, whatever, Colombian necktie, where you just slit your throat with your thumb.
Yeah,
it's got to be something like that. It'd be much funnier if it was like some kind of a Three Stooges reference, where he just puts his hand on top of his head and goes whoop 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 whoop,
and then hits his fist on top of the other fist on top of the head.
Yeah.
This one's kind of silly. We punish them for sticking to their beliefs. A seventh grade girl in Indiana was suspended for 10 days for violating her school's drug policy by saying no to Adderall. When one of her classmates offered her the pill and placed it in her hand, the girl declined the drug and returned it to its owner immediately. School officials kicked her out of school for possession, and the girl decided that the next time she'd say, maybe once to drugs, which is a joke. But so obviously she got caught with it in her hand because she wouldn't take it. So the story, you know, they're saying, hey, if she would have just taken it, she wouldn't have gotten in trouble, which is just silly.
There might be a little bit more to that story.
Maybe a little bit more. This one, though,
I think there might be a little bit more because how old is the girl?
Seventh grade girl. So that's like
seventh grade. There's no more. If it was like a eighth grade, ninth, ten, you know, some kind of high school.
Yeah.
She got caught with the pill. She got caught with it. Was like, I don't want to take this.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Little Matt in the chat room said, I'd love it to be the Nazi salute for the sign language.
His name is a Ten Hut. Number five, we reprimand them for pulling harmless pranks. Ready for this prank, dude? You know, because, you know, I'm not a big prank guy, you know, like, it's like, you know, fucking pranks, knock it off, you know. But ready for this one, dude? A boy was arrested for causing alarm to patrons because a bunch of elderly players looked up when he walked into a bingo hall and yelled bingo. While the judge pretty much laughed off the case, getting cuffed over a case of boys will be boys is a pretty harsh overreaction. He yelled bingo and they arrested him. Wow.
Oh,
dude, this next one is going to infuriate
If he yelled, I shit my pants, he would have had 10 orderlies sitting there waiting, mop exactly. in hand, going, to hey, clean up the bingo game.
This next one, I can't even fathom that this is true. But number six, we forced them to be more dependent. Mom arrested. Ready for this? This woman was arrested for letting kids play outside. A Texas woman's neighbor called the cops after seeing kids playing outside in the cul-de-sac where they live. The policeman who arrived at the scene proceeded to take the mother to jail, citing reckless endangerment of children. presumably because arresting people is way more policeman-y than not arresting people. The woman spent 18 hours in prison, and your hard-earned tax dollars wept silently in the corner, whatever. Dude, she was letting the kids play outside, and somebody called to complain and say that she was a bad mother for letting them play on a cul-de-sac. It's not Martin Luther King Boulevard in Newark, New Jersey. It was a cul-de-sac.
There might be a little bit more to that story also.
But
depends on what the kids were playing. If they were playing hopscotch, one thing. If they're,
what could they have been playing? You know,
spray painting cars or something.
But,
there's
a news story. And
or beating up the deaf kid with his own name.
But it wouldn't be a story for letting them play outside. It would be a story of kids being reckless or kids pulling a crime. It's a local 2 news channel. Mom arrested, let kids play outside. Like, they didn't do anything. There was nothing. It was just, you know what I mean? It's that whole thing where people are always looking at what other parents are doing with their kids, like smacking them in the ass, going, that's child abuse. Obviously, now because these kids, you can't even leave them alone for 5 minutes. Oh, because they're going to get abducted by a pedophile, because that's all there are now. We have 50 million pedophiles running around this country now. So they're actually saying, there was nothing, dude, nothing else. I mean, I can look up the story, but it's obvious that there was nothing else. So it would have said the woman was arrested. Why would she be arrested for her kids doing something? You know what I mean?
Right.
I think we heard this story before, and I actually get to see the picture. It's hilarious. We don't let them play with their food. 7-year-old suspended for gun-shaped Pop-Tart. A young boy received a 2-day suspension for biting a toaster pastry into the shape of a gun. The NRA gave the boy a free lifetime membership because one good lapse in logic deserves another. The student's school offered counseling to anyone who was affected by the shocking sight of a half-eaten Pop-Tart. Oh, my God. You know what? We're doomed as a country right now, but the kids that are kids right now, kids that are under the age of 10, we're finished. We're going to have a generation of kids that are going to be so pampered and so friggin' just not allowing them to do anything, that it's the pussification of America. It's what our savior George
Carlin
said.
You're absolutely right.
Holy crap, dude.
What happened?
No, I'm just letting you talk. Go ahead.
Holy crap. I didn't know what was going on.
No. I heard you. I'm pretty quick with letting you speak. Go ahead.
Oh, no. You could see it with the kids, but it's also affecting the half-decent, actual common-sense people. You know what I mean? It's affecting them.
Yes. We got a phone.
Also, it's changing.
Oh, okay. Hang on, Kenny. We got a call. Hello.
Hi, it's Scrambler.
What's up, man?
I wanted to call about Carlin, and you were talking pussification. I figure it's a good time to call in right now.
Sure. What's up, brother?
So I'm 30 years old, and I was lucky enough to see Carlin. I idolized him since I was like 9 or 10.
The greatest.
And he played our college at Indiana University, and that's how I know about that goofy time zone. It used to take me 3 hours to get home on the weekend and 5 hours to get back on Sunday night.
And not because of traffic.
No, it's because it was a time zone change. It was a warp.
Holy
shit. It was 200 miles, and you'd travel time. It was crazy. So do you remember it would have been 2003. So right after you saw him, that one where he did that real morbid special about like hanging himself and just a bunch of different suicide jokes and all that kind of.
Is that is that the one where all the it looked like a grave? It looked like a Yeah, that was actually.
I actually saw him live working that material out. He said, "I've seen him live like nine or ten times." And it was at the State Theater in New Brunswick in New Jersey. And he's like, first hour is going to be my old special. Second hour is going to be all new stuff. And he did like 45 minutes on suicide. And then he did a couple of minutes on, you know, the first person that invented an enema. And he said it was probably made out of grapefruit juice and sand. And it was one of the funniest lines I ever. I'm not giving it any justice. But it was, he did 45 minutes on suicide and it was brilliant. But I'm sorry. That's it.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. So he played the auditorium, which was probably, I don't know, 1,500 people or something. It's a decent sized theater.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy who was with me, and he had loved Carlin too, he fell asleep during it. And I was laughing because I, you know, shit, I'd heard every single special that he'd ever done, you know, and a lot of people really weren't feeling it. And when he ended the show, he kind of took a half a bow and he's like, listen, it's not you. It's not me. I'll consider it a draw. And he kind of did like a little where you twirl your hands and kind of bow and put them behind you kind of thing.
Right. He called it a draw. So he didn't completely blame the audience. And
exactly. Because, and I got it. I was laughing. I was standing up and like, I don't think very many people in that kind of audience get it because, you know, it's college. So, and at my age, a lot of those people saw him when he was fucking Mr. Conductor on the Tank Engine show, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Scrambler, that's actually hilarious because the first hour he did was his special stuff. The place was going nuts. You know, everybody was getting it. The second hour where he's working out material, he finishes and he goes, I'm not going to hold your shortcomings against you. Thank you. Good night.
Oh, that's great.
I'm not going to hold your shortcomings against you. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, I do understand why. I mean, you know, you're in a college scrambler?
Yeah, so it was Indiana University, you know, Bobby Knight, mm-hmm. that type of atmosphere. But it is a super liberal school. It's a super liberal town. I'm a pretty conservative guy. I'm a gun guy, but I am very open to sense of humor. Nothing hurts my feelings. I think if getting offended by words makes you the weakest person in the world, and you should never give in to a word. It makes you just seem cowardly for some reason to me.
Absolutely, especially if it's not said to you personally. That's what is the worst thing. But, yeah, I mean, even Carlin, who, if you really listen to Carlin's, the base of Carlin's ideals, he's kind of liberal, you know? But when you're in a college like that, it's so super fucking liberal that, you know, it doesn't even matter. Like, anything you say, you know, that is even remotely edgy or even, you know, has a bite to it, they're going to be like, oh, my God. It's almost a lost cause. But I'm glad he still went in there and then kind of blamed it on them at the end and gave a half curtsy and then took off and got his money and went home, you know?
It was fantastic. Great. I mean, and like Kenny said, when he saw him, he did like a half. Well, I saw Louis back in 2008 when he was working out Hilarious, I think it would have been. And
probably.
He came and he did, shit, an hour and 40 minutes of new stuff. And then he came out. He did, you know, a 10-minute encore, and then he comes out again because everyone's still cheering him, and he just goes, listen, I got nothing else. He goes, you guys just start yelling out shit, and I'll do it. And he probably did, like, 210, 215.
No shit.
And he was working out an hour. I mean, it was, and it was pretty close to being done. I think it was probably 3 months after Shameless had aired. So usually when something airs, it's already 5 to 7 months old.
Yeah.
So 5 to 7 and maybe 2 months after that. I mean, Louis turns an hour every year.
Yeah.
And he would do three a year. That he said the TV show keeps him from going crazy because he was saving up hours that he couldn't do because he couldn't get them through cycles fast enough.
God. That is so disheartening as a comic to hear that. Like, I've been doing it like 13 years, and I probably legitimately have maybe like an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes of material. And I mean, you know, it's something I haven't done, in a long, long time, and a lot that I'm doing now. But it's just like to churn out in a year, it's just amazing. But you know what? These guys get up every single night. And they're writing every day. So even if they get, you know, hey, listen, even if you write one joke a week, that's 52 weeks. That's 50 jokes. And if it's 50 jokes, you know, and whether 50 jokes, whether they're one-liners or a bit, and, you know, and then even if it's half of that, you know, you can do that as an hour stand-up, you know. Just some of these guys are such monsters, you know, to just sit there and watch them just churn. And Norton's been starting to churn him out too. He seems to be getting that once a year now, where
he's been working them out. He says it all the time. He's like, I'm working, doing the cheap ticket, working them out, traveling, doing the shitty little rooms where you can bomb and nobody cares, and the real fans will come and spend the money, you know.
Yep.
But when those guys do an hour, it's honed out where your first joke sets it up. And it's like a symphony. You got a couple different sets. You got a high, a low, and then you got to bring it back to your first joke, and then you got to bring it back hard and finish and kill on your first joke from your last joke. You got to be right at that point where if you wanted to just drop the mic and walk out, it's just a perfect circle.
Yeah, it's like it is like
really
watching.
Tough.
It's like music.
It's much simpler than it sounds. Be real.
you know what I mean, though.
I'm only screwing with you, brother. You're absolutely right. That shit's fucking difficult, man.
Well, the pacing, you can't keep it gaining. You gotta slow it down. Yeah. You gotta level it off. You gotta bring it down and then kill it right at the end, because you gotta give them a reason
valleys.
To stand up.
Yeah, there's a peak. Because you want them to. Because nobody's ever going to remember everything that you did, so you want to the mantra is to start strong and finish strong. And you're right, it's peaks and valleys, and it's a ride. You know, I've heard guys say that. I go, look, man, when you're doing an hour, you know, and people are there, you take them for a ride. They're going for a ride with you, and a ride isn't just driving straight. On a flat, unless you live in Indiana, except the only difference is you've been driving straight for 150 miles, and the time changes 11 times. But besides that, but at least you know there's peaks and valleys, there's turns, there's ups and downs, and I think that's what the guys who have been doing it, who are just real, like they're monsters. They're the guys that are just these. You know, Brian Regan is another one. And, you know, there's so many of these guys, and they're machines. They're monsters, and they know how to do it. And, you know, it's just a matter of just doing it for so long. And then it's just a matter of just putting it together and just, you know, because we call it chunking. Guys who are like, aren't as prolific as those guys. Like, I'll have like, you know, we'll have like two or three different bits. And then what happens is you take two or three of those bits and you put them together. So instead of it being three bits, it's one bit. It's one large bit now. It's like, hey, you know what? I have three different bits about women. Well, now all those three bits are one bit. It's all about women. It's like, you know, the first one up being liars, and then the second one's about their vaginas, and the third one, and then it becomes one bit. That's where I used to get confused and be in awe of these guys, because I go, how are these guys remembering? That was my thing. When I used to watch Chris Rock just go from one bit to another, and then I realized he wasn't remembering each bit. It was the chunk. It was almost like he wasn't remembering every line of a book. He was remembering the chapter. And then you just go through the chapter. And
what made me feel more comfortable, once I started getting more time, not frequency, I mean actually from 15, then you 20, 35, 40 minutes, where you could actually just take your time. And you didn't have to jam all your funny shit into 10 minutes or 15. Someone gives you, you know, do 35, 45 minutes, and you can actually... You can actually say it the way you wanted to.
So then,
you know what I mean,
right? But
that's
then,
when I felt most comfortable, was not to fill the time. If you do it right, you could take 20 minutes of material and do it in 45 minutes. You know what I mean?
Well, that's just what I was going to say. Kenny had the luxury of taking his 10 minutes of hilarity and smoothing it over into 45 minutes stand up.
Into 45 minutes, yeah. but it was like one time I was doing a show for Levy, and the middle act didn't show up in Pennsylvania. And I wound up doing an hour and a half.
I didn't have an hour and a half of material at the time, but I did an hour and a half. It was just because you kind of, when you take your time, you can, your mind can work of where to go next. Even if you don't have any jokes, you can talk about, instead of going, hey, well, what do you guys want to talk about? You can still engage them just by your own thoughts. You know what I mean? And but once you're once you have that comfortability where you're like, you know, if someone has 10 minutes, 10 solid minutes, and they say, go do 45, you're going to shit your pants. You're going to freak out. But if you have 25, 35 minutes, and then you still have all of this other stuff that you've never tried, and you're able to spit it out and get it out there, it makes you more comfortable. You got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You kind of relax a little bit and say, okay, I want to see how this sounds in a microphone.
I'm just listening to Kenny.
Around in my head all day.
I'm just listening to Kenny talk about time, and I'm like, you know what? In the last trip, I think you should be the last person discussing anything about time and what time things are, and just the direction
exactly.
of tough time, because you've been all banged up for the last couple of days. But so when you saw Carlin, you said that was 2003?
It would have been 2000 and... shit. Yeah, it would have been 2003. April of 2003. I'm thinking it was.
Yeah. That was, I mean, you know, his stuff...
Well, did he die? He died in 08, and that was It's Bad For You.
Is that the one, Is It Bad For You? When he got into he's talking about the government. He's saying it's a big club and you ain't in it.
Has it been 08? That's when he died.
Yeah, he died June 22nd of 2008.
Holy
dude, what,
shit!
Six, 68 years old, wasn't he?
No, he was 70.
Oh, 71.
I think he was 71. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what sucked? I would have loved, like, every time, especially in the last since
you
Obama's
know what a 71
been president,
is.
What's that?
A 69 with two fingers.
Really? You just wasted our time with that?
She would have loved it.
Oh, I hope you get hit in the fucking head with a ball peen hammer 71 times tonight before you go to sleep. That was a little too mean, I think, Kenny. Okay, I understand.
No, that's okay. Okay. That's all right. I'm just going to Whitney Houston myself in this jacuzzi over here anyway.
But I would have loved to seen him in the last couple of years, especially since Obama's been president, and I always get into arguments with people on Twitter and about the fact that, like, people say, oh my God, there's so many more people who hate Obama more than I've ever seen, and I don't think that's true. I think when Bush was president, there was just as amount of people who didn't like Bush. It's just, let's face it, Bush was out in 2008. And in 2008, we had MySpace. Facebook was just starting to come out. And there was no Twitter yet. So, you know, we didn't have all of these vehicles to drive where everybody, you get to see everybody's opinion. Just like anything else, just like the fact that, you know, hey, listen, in 2004, there was nothing. There wasn't any MySpace. There was nothing. You didn't know anybody's political views. You didn't know anybody's fucking religious views. You didn't know anything unless you asked them. Now you don't have to ask anybody. You see it. So, yeah, there are a lot of people who hate Obama, but I think you just see more of it because you see everybody's dumb fucking idea and everybody's dumb post, whether it's for or against, whatever. So it goes with everything. Everything seems more magnified. Oh, there's a lot more school shootings, and there's a lot more kids being abducted, and there's a lot more shootings in convenience stores. No, we just see every one of them because you have 20.
It's a lot more hand jobs from Esther Johnson.
Yes, exactly.
Esther Johnson, 71.
Fucking Scrambler's got one of those twisted memories. He's got like a photographic memory. But I just think that when you have 24-hour news and fucking a zillion of them, everything gets, you know, it used to be you had news at like whatever, what was it, 8 o'clock in the morning, then it was an hour news at 12, and then you had the 5 o'clock news for an hour, and then the 10 o'clock news. There was like 3 hours of news all day. And they had to pick and choose, which one are we going to use? What do we use? All right, we'll do this story. We're not going to do this story. We got to put one good feel-good story in. And here's the big news story of the day, the one national story. Now, every story is a national story. If some kid gets run over by, over his foot in a car when he's walking home from school in Portland, Oregon, it's all over the news. Everybody sees it. And you, it's just everything, we're getting drowned in information. And it makes people act fucking nutty. And then you get stories like this, if it brings it back to a kid getting a two-day suspension for biting into a fucking Pop-Tart and making it into a shape of a gun. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous thing. You take that out of context, and that's the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard as a news story for something that a kid did. And I'm just gonna sit here by myself.
Wait for it.
I was trying to think of something stupid a kid did.
Oh, something else a kid did. But it's frightening, man. It is frightening, and a lot of it goes to what we're saying, that you know, it's I think it's more scary. Like people say, it's a scary world out there. You know, like in a world like today, in today's world, it's not any more violent today. Like, you know how people always say it's an end of times, you know, like, you know, the Armageddon. And you can go back to any time in the 1900s until now. You could say, all right, early 1900s, you had the influenza, which killed like 20 million people. And you had World War One, and you could say, those people probably said, holy shit, it's the end of times. Christ is coming down on a chariot. It's over. And then you had the crash from like 1929 into the 30s, which was awful time. And then World War Two and Hitler and that whole disaster. And you could say that must have been the worst time.
The only civilization that has gotten Armageddon right were the friggin' Incas and the Mayans.
And also
they're gone.
Those guineas over in Pompeii, I think they got it right too. Right?
That's true.
Yeah. But it's just, so it's all about perception. And you can look and go, and look at the 60s, how volatile the 60s was with the civil rights movement and Vietnam and the hippie movement and all of that. And you could have said, it's over. We're in the most worst fucking times of our lives. And then the 80s with the Iran-Contra scandal and the Cold War coming to a head.
AIDS,
yes, that's exactly it. And everything looked... I never reacted to somebody saying AIDS before by going, yes, AIDS. But do you know what I'm saying? It's all about perception. And when you're in it, it looks like it's the worst. And it's really not. It's just the way things roll, you know? And like I said, it's about this perception to where now we're seeing a kid. I don't think they ever had a kid who made a gun by biting into a pastry dish. I don't think he was ever suspended, even 30 years ago, just because we didn't have the news to catch it. I think this is a reaction because of the news and because of keywords like bullying and school shootings and things like that that get people freaked out, and they think that every corner that they turn is a pedophile waiting for their kid and a kid waiting to shoot up a school. And it's just
whatever progress that we've made as to the knock it off with the anti-bullying, with the bullying shit,
right?
Carpet just ripped out from under you with the fucking Miami Dolphins.
That was ridiculous. 323 pounds.
But you know what?
He's a fucking offensive lineman crying in his Cheerios.
But you know what, though?
How do you bully an NFL player?
But you know what? All right, here, I agree 100%. Because see, that's the thing. We throw this word bullying around in this country for everything, except for when it actually happens. And the one thing that they always fail to use is the word relentless. The word relentless is never used when they're talking about bullying, because most of the time it's not bullying. It's just an asshole being an asshole for one moment to somebody else. And it's like, oh, you bullied that person. But from what I gather, this guy for the last year and a half has been relentlessly harassed by this guy and a couple other guys. And the issue is that this guy is supposedly one of the leaders of their locker room, and he's like their representative. And like, I think each team has a couple of representatives that represent the players. And so this guy has been kind of getting hazed for the last fucking year and a half. And like Scramble said, it's a 300-pound guy. And to say, how could a 300-pound guy be, quote, bullied? But you know what? If you're getting your balls busted by a few of them, like, even you don't want to I don't care how big you are. You don't want to fight one guy that's your size. You know what I mean? You're a professional. You're making money. And you're a football player. You don't want to fight some fucking monster. But imagine it's more than one.
Supposedly, this guy had like a mental breakdown. I mean, they were normal hazing for teams. You know, you got to pick up the check when you go out to dinner.
Did you hear the voicemail? Scrambler probably did. Did you hear they read the text of the voicemail that he left him? Did you hear that, Scrambler?
No, I heard it. I heard it read, but I
didn't hear it. But it was read. Kenny, it was basically a voicemail of this guy incognito, basically saying, "Hey, look, you half Negro, he is you half motherfucker. I'll fucking smash your mother in the face. You fucking and I think he's saying I'll either. I think he said I'll fucking fuck your mouth because they said I'll blank you in your blanking mouth. So that means, I mean, they're not going to blank out the word punch. So I think he said, I'm going to fuck you. I mean, that would be retarded. So I think he said, you fucking half Negro motherfucker. I'll punch your real mother or something like that. And I'll fuck you in your fucking mouth. And I'll fucking kill you. Now, my issue is, it's not the words he used. It's the context. And the context of what he's using is a hateful threat. That's what we're all missing here. We're missing the fact that it's a threat.
I also think it's cadence. If you went, I'll fuck you in your fucking mouth.
Of course. If you want me.
That may be nice. If I just fuck you in your fucking mouth a little bit, it'd be okay.
It's like the scene in Reservoir Dogs when he's like, did you see that, Daddy? He tried to fuck me in the ass. If you would hear that the way it sounds, it's hilarious because it's got the timing and he says it nice and slow and it's joking. But if you just read that, it probably would sound like the most horrible thing you've ever heard.
Absolutely. So, but what I'm saying is that if you look at all the things that are involved with this, is that this is a guy, and from what I gather, this guy, not incognito, the guy who's getting his balls busted, Martin, I think his name is.
Martin.
This guy went to, I think, Stanford. They say he's a really smart guy. His parents are both fucking, like, one's an attorney and one's something else. And from what I gather, some of the things that they fucking harass this guy on, get this, is how smart he is. So this goes back to basics of a fucking dumb jock, a couple of dumb jocks making fun of the nerdy guy, except that this nerdy guy is a 290-pound fucking offensive lineman. So it just seems that, look, for this guy who's a really smart dude to have like a breakdown, it's obvious that this has been relentless since last year, the beginning of last year when he got on the team. So this is what I think, if you want to use the word bullying, I love the one guy on the NFL channel or whatever was using the word harassment, because that's what it is. I mean, you want to call it bullying.
I'd like to hear the breakdown. You know what I mean? If it was him banging on the table going, would you fucking leave me the fuck alone? I'm sick and tired of this shit. Or if he was like, you know, just stop it.
I think it's gotta be tough when
snot
coming out of his nose. It's like 3 o'clock high, the movie, you know, and they gotta meet him at the bike rack, you know, by the but it's gotta be,
you know what too, you know what you feel bad is when some, you know, it's when you're crying when you have a mouthful of food. There's something about that that just is heartbreaking. It's just, you know, you take a bite of food and somebody smacks you in the back of the head and the kid just starts crying. It's just, you have to, you don't know where to cry, swallow, spit the food out, keep chewing while you're crying. It is a heartbreaking, if you wanted to see, you wanted to, you know, really get a point across of not to bully kids, let the kid get bullied with a mouthful of food and just see him crying. You know, because I used to get my ass kicked with a mouthful of food. And I've seen it, my brother, and it just looks so awful. You've got to swallow it or spit it out or something and finish crying. Because you just have a hamburger in your hands and you're crying. It's the worst. I feel so bad. I feel bad right now just bringing it up.
But it's just that was definitely a weird story that just started coming out today. And at first I'm like, oh, they're using the fucking bullying thing. But I think when you're getting harassed for a year and a half by one of the leaders, I mean, that's got to suck. It's like, it's not like just some jerk off. It's like, dude, get the fuck out of my face. This is one of the leaders of the team in the locker room who obviously has a thing for this guy. He's got something. And you find out that this incognito guy is kind of a douche, and you're finding out that he's had some dumb shit against him. But it's like, you know, there's a difference between just the pussification or, hey, you know what? You should be able to go to work and not be fucking harassed every day, unless it's your boss harassing you because you're not doing a good job. And, you know, that's not real harassment. That's like, hey, get on it, man. You're fucking missing your quotas or you're missing your whatever. But this is a guy who every day, from what I gather, they would treat him like he was garbage. Like if he
in the mess hall. In the cafeteria, all the black guys were like, give me all your quotas. That's what started it.
Yeah, and it's funny because they really haven't mentioned, but he's a white dude, the guy incognito who's the problem, and the other guy's a black dude. And it's like, so were there, I mean, dude, let's face it.
Wait a minute. Pull back a second.
What?
The bullied guy is a black? White.
No, the bullied guy is a black dude, yes. And the guy who's causing the problem is
Martin. Martin is black.
Yes. And Martin is the guy who left. Is a white dude.
Incognito is actually black. It just uses the name.
Oh, okay. You're an asshole. You really are stupid.
I didn't know that. Yes. Incognito sounds like some kind of an ethnic name, you know, whether it's black or, you know, Hispanic or whatever it is, right. Or Hawaiian. But I thought Martin was a white guy.
No. So it's this guy. And you got to think, dude. All these other, I mean, let's face it, most NFL locker rooms are mostly black guys. So you're like, really? So this fucking big neck, and if you see this incognito, he's a fucking house and a half. Just as
where are the other black guys helping the other black
guys? That's
guy
what
out.
I'm saying.
I'm
going
to send this to you, Kenny, because he looks, the incognito, just, he's a baby Huey looking motherfucker.
Yes, he is. He really is, dude. He is. He's a typical athlete, no neck, like absolutely zero neck, but like Nebraska corn fed.
Yeah,
and you know, it's like it's a weird dynamic that this other guy,
the other black guys,
yeah, that's what I'm saying, because I don't think it was like, yeah, look at this dude. You see him in the chat room,
Brent? That's incognito.
Yeah, that's incognito. He's kind of goofy looking. And, wow. Yeah, he sent racist text to him, but it wasn't about the... They always say, you know, it was offensive and racist. It wasn't about the race. It wasn't about the racist shit. It was this fucking threatening fucking intent. Like, you can tell. He was like, fuck you. I'll fuck you in your mouth and your mother, and I'll fucking kill you. It's like, dude, that's threatening. Like, that's fucking... That is, forget about the words. I don't give a shit. He called him half, whatever it was. That's not even, the racist shit isn't even the issue. It's the threat. And that's the other guy, I guess, huh? Is that the other dude? It's a big...
Yeah, I put a link in there with the two of them next to each other, and they both look even goofier than that. The two pictures that they picked to put next to each other, they look like a bunch of just... 3-year-old, 300-pound retard.
Yeah, it's amazing. Let me see. I don't think I see. But it's just, it's amazing that, like, a guy who, like, people say, you're a 300-pound dude. Obviously, this has been going on for a while. And he obviously, like, you can sit, what are you going to do, fight a person every day? Are you going to just sit there and deal with somebody every day? You're trying to just go to work and do your thing and make your money and go home. And it was like, and that's what we're missing whenever we talk about bullies, is this, the just this unbelievable. It's just a constant. It's relentless, and we forget about that. It's a relentless thing, and it sounds like this guy had had enough. I mean, he doesn't look like a pussy, and he's a smart guy, and he's a fucking NFL player. And he had a year and a half, and he said, I've had enough. I'm done. You know, for him to walk away from that kind of money, it was obvious. And it was, you know, and I guess part of you is like, you don't want to go tattling on somebody. What are you going to do, fight this other fucking big-neck douche every day? It's like, I guess he had enough. It's a shame, but it's fucking crazy, dude.
The incognito guy, he's 9 years he's been on the team. And if he's one of the captains, let's say, of the O-line or whatever,
yeah.
Martin's job, one of his jobs is to earn the respect of this guy that won't take his knee off his neck. I mean, he won't give it up, and it's got to kill him that he's not getting anywhere. That's probably one of the number one things they tell him is like, this is one of the leaders. You got to get to know him. You got to get to play nice with him, you know. Yeah. And if he's been dragging him down and he won't let him, you know, take one step forward to even take two step back, he's probably never even got off the bottom rung.
Yeah.
You know, he's just, and I, you know, and I get it. And when I say a 200, 320 pound guy, I'm only a 200 pound guy. So to me, a 300 pound, but these guys, if they were both 50 pounds, it's their peers. So yeah. It's the same as two first graders. It's the same as two sumo wrestlers.
Yeah.
I mean, so that whole us be, if they wouldn't have given that example about the lunchroom, which made it seem so childish.
Yeah, yeah.
The more exactly. That comes out about this, it's, I mean, he's a incorrigible ball buster.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's like, hey, listen, you're not going to, there's 53 guys on a team. You're not going to like everybody. That's just the way it is. It's not 53 guys from different parts of the country, different religions, different political backgrounds. They're not all going to like each other. But hey, you're like, you know what? I'm not too fond of that guy. But you know what? Doesn't matter. You don't have to be buddies with him. Hey, you know what? You do your thing. Whatever you need to do to be cordial, to be on a, you know, winning team. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about working together to win. And hey, you know what? Maybe Incognito didn't like the guy for whatever reason. Hey, you know what?
So,
I don't like him, so I don't have to be friends with him. But you don't have go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Somebody's got a microphone in the sandbox now. So we can get more information.
It's very frightening, but this is a good example of, and you know what? And it really comes down to this. You want to use the word bully. You want to use this. You know what Incognito is? He's an asshole. That's what it is. You're just a jerk off. You're not a good guy. You're a piece of shit. You're an asshole. That's it. You want to throw in a special kind of asshole? You want to call him a bully? You want to call him whatever. He's harassing this guy. The guy's trying to go to work. He's the guy's not banging his sister. He's not, you know, which would put a lot of people that were probably friends with Incognito in an uproar, you know, having a black fella. You know how that is, folks. But, you know, it's like that's a special kind of asshole that, you know what I mean? Like, look, we all meet assholes every day, and you can have somebody, you know, and one day scramble, somebody's going to fuck with you at a bar or whatever, push you or whatever. But you know what? If that same guy does that, and he's constantly, every time he sees you, he's got to fucking bust your balls and fucking make your day miserable every time for a year and a half, and you work with him, eventually I'm like, I'm doing something. Whether I'm coming in there with a fucking, Chinese star and I'm throwing it through his fucking forehead, or I'm going to fucking punch him in his face or do whatever. This guy chose to be whatever you want to call it. Some people say, oh, he's a pussy. I think he chose to do the right thing. They go, you know what? Fuck you. I don't need this place. I'm not a dumb. This guy's a smart guy. He's got plans. You know, I mean, he could probably go out and fucking get a go and do whatever he wants. That's probably why he left.
He's got plans. When I grow up, I'm going to be a doctor or a fireman.
Or I'm going to wear Doc my last names. Right. Maybe we should just take a break. I didn't even get through this whole thing, man. All right. You know what? Thanks for calling in, Scrambler. I appreciate it, dude. Anytime you want to call in, dude, just fucking do your thing.
Thanks for having me. Oh, I looked up that George Carlin special. It was called Life is Worth Losing.
Life is Worth Losing, yep.
And it was going to be titled I Like It When a Lot of People Die, but it got released a month after Hurricane Katrina, so they changed it.
Oh, okay.
And some of the track listings were The Suicide Guy, Pyramids of Hopelessness or Hopeless.
Yes, the yes, I know that.
Autoerotic Asphyxia, Posthumous yep. Female Transplants, and I mean it was pretty morbid.
Yes, I know exactly that pyramid. I know what that is. That's great.
I was so upset that the enema bit didn't get on the air. So upset.
All right, boys. Well, thanks for keeping me on that long. Oh, I appreciate it.
And Scramble, you're on a show now on Wednesday?
I am 9 to 11 on Wednesdays, Eastern, of course, because it's more like radio. The Red.
Yeah, you're on The Red Show now.
Yeah, yeah, with Tex Puncham, P-Rock, and Footer.
Yeah, that's awesome. Dude, I I've heard the show a couple times, and I love Footer's voice, but why do they call it The Red?
So it started off as something a couple of years ago, and then it turned into the Redicculous Show, and R-E-D was capitaled and ridiculous.
Oh.
And then when they broke off, so I mean, I've only been on it for a week. But I've been doing their Facebook forum, so I kind of did a little bit of background information on it. But it came off of the Redicculous Show, and it just turned into the Red Show.
Okay, very cool. The Red Show. Because I never knew why. I thought it was some sort of wrestling thing. Because like half of the shows are like wrestling. And I found out mark out is another phrase they use in wrestling. And I didn't know this.
And so I didn't know that either. Yeah, so the only wrestling term I knew was heel.
Yes.
Well, and I learned that. That's all I know.
I didn't even know that was a real term until More Like Radio. Like I knew what the word heel meant in that sense because of cartoons when I was a kid. You know, Bugs Bunny would turn into a heel and they would show him as like the bottom of a foot and you were just a heel. You were not a nice guy. But I found out that that's what they use as the bad guys in wrestling.
So, I found out what heel was for Mistress Patricia.
Oh, look at you making a dominatrix reference. Patricia. Where'd you come up with that name?
I don't know. That's not fake.
Oh, okay.
He tried calling her Miss Patty. She gave him the heel, and now he calls her Patricia. Miss Patricia. All the time.
She's a real saint, ain't she, Kenny?
All right, boys. Thanks a lot.
Man. Later, Scrambler. Thanks, brother. All right. Good call, man.
He's cool.
We gotta. All right, you know what? I'm just gonna go real quick. Number 8, we don't let them get their hands dirty. Some girl, she got 2 days in detention because she was put dirt in a bag and tied it in a scrunchie and gave it to her friend as a present. We punished them for being honest. Some 8th grader punished her for reporting students having sex on a bus. We crushed her individuality. A kindergarten suspended because he had a mohawk. Number 11, we make them ask permission for everything. A mom calls the cops on her son for stealing Pop-Tarts, not from a fucking, not from a store, but from her own house. Number 12, we crush their dreams. Police force girls to shut down lemonade stand. Can you believe that? 3 young girls were told by the police to shut their lemonade stand because they were not paying the $50 business and food permit required by city law. The police chief was also concerned about the fact he didn't know how or with what the beverage was made. Really? Oh, my God. We take away their free speech. 11-year-old suspended for saying gun. All right? Then there's a bunch of them. We teach them to be ashamed of their bodily functions. Middle boy school arrested for burping in class. We make spreading cooties a sex crime. A teacher called the police because an elementary school girl kissed a boy on the playground. Teacher called the incident a sex crime. A sex crime! This is unbelievable. We could do this all day, but that's why I'm just going to blow through it. We discourage close personal relationships. Ready for this one, Kenny? Some elementary schools in Britain are adopting the policy of telling students that they should have large groups of friends instead of having a single best friend. The informal ban comes from the concern that the kids' feelings would be hurt if the relationship of best friends forever turned into best friends until we have a fight or drift apart as we mature. Right, just take away everything that resembles any type of an adult situation that you're ever going to come into.
Oh my God.
We take away their balls. Toronto school bans balls on playground. Oh my God. Elementary school has banned all non-foam balls.
It all depends if they're attached to a 75-year-old male. There should be some balls that should be kept off playgrounds.
Exactly. Very good. We prevent them from being educated. School banned dictionaries. Parents' complaint about the dictionary inclusion of the word oral sex has prompted a ban on the book in Southern California. The book's definition of the word, which is written oral stimulation of the genitals, once was considered too obscene for elementary. All right. Yeah, I'm done. Number 19, we prohibit them from acting like adults. A 12-year-old girl was arrested for spraying perfume in school after her classmates were bullying her. She was charged with a misdemeanor after spraying the scent twice. Meanwhile, our high school girls across the nation continue to hope for similar treatments. We don't let them stand up for what they believe in. A high schooler was suspended for 5 days after an anti-bullying video she made for her business and communication class. The assignment required her to make a persuasive promo, which she did so effectively that some of her classmates were moved to tears. The principal caught wind of the buzz and punished the girl for disruption of the learning environment. And underachievers everywhere. Oh, my God. And number 21, we don't let them play rough. Six-year-old accused of sexual battery for game of tag. I'll read this whole thing. A little boy was suspended and had a count of sexual battery on his school record for brushing up against his friend's leg or groin area during a game of tag. The school took the charge off the boy's record after learning that the sexual assault by six-year-olds does not legally exist in California. The boy's parents were threatened legal activity. Oh my God, it's unbelievable, dude. It's unfucking believable. The pussification of America.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a fine list.
Wow. I'm sorry. I just want to blow through because we're not going to do it when we get back. So. All right, let's take a break.
No, Kevin. Absolutely. But when you start looking into that shit, you're like, oh Jesus! Yeah, it actually happens. You know what I mean?
But then
it actually happens.
This goes to what I was saying before. Do you think stuff like this happened in the 70s and 80s, but because we didn't read about it and it wasn't known, nobody gave a shit because we didn't know? Like, if you didn't know about it, you wouldn't give a shit because you don't know.
Yeah, but I don't think in 1972 two six-year-olds were playing tag and one tagged him by accident in the balls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're playing tag. You're supposed to touch a person that would be a big deal.
Yeah.
Or the other kid wouldn't go, he tagged me in my balls. Like, you know, like the parents tell him that, you know, if somebody
right.
tags you in your balls.
And the teacher would say,
you know,
you're a fucking, stop it, you pansy.
Cover your nuts, you jerk fuck. You're playing tag. You're running around.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely
right. If you're 6 years old and you're playing smack ball, you know, then there's a little problem. You're just a bunch of six-year-olds whacking each other in the nuts. Then it's weird.
Yeah, you're right.
But if, you know, if you're playing tag, it's bad.
It's crazy. All right. Let's take a break.
I'm going to need a little bit of time.
All right, no problem. I'm going to annoy them with it. You remember the little fishy thing that Dave Ingram made of us?
Sure.
I'm going to play that to annoy the shit out of everybody that is a
very nice.
It'll probably be a good head. It'll be a good head haunting. So, all right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. It's a Conti and Kenny show on morelikeradio.com.
Come here, me little Jackie. No, I've smoked me bucky. Have a bit of cracky till the boat comes in. Dance to the daddy, sing to the mommy. Dance to the daddy, to the mommy sing. Thou shalt have a fishy on a little ishy. Thou shalt have a fishy when the boat comes in.
I'm not an unpleasant person.
I'm a vagina champion.
Thou shalt have a fishy on a little ishy. Thou shalt have a haddock when the boat comes in.
I am not a happy person.
I'll retard my smartness.
Thou shalt have a fishy on a little dishy. Thou shalt have a mackerel when the boat comes in.
Plus, I was so disturbed with the tranny sitting out there.
The jerk off that he is. I'm coming.
Swing. Shut up.
Thou shalt have a fishy on a little dishy. Thou shalt have a salmon. When the boat comes in.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Have a bit of cracky.
How does that sound?
Ludicrous.
Missed a previous show? Want to catch up with the show? Have nothing else better going on with your life? Download podcasts of The Conti and Kenny Show. They are on iTunes, and for you Apple haters, they are now on Stitcher. You can also go to morelikeradio.com or theContiandKennyShow.com.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Queer.
Two little boys had two little toys. Each had a wooden horse. Gaily they played each summer's day. Warriors both, of course.
My foreskin is a different story.
My uterus isn't drying out.
You want to plow a dildo in my ass?
All right, stop touching it.
Sorry. You don't like when I touch it?
How gay was that?
Then cried with joy as his young playmate said.
Joe Conti blows it again.
Yeah, blowjobs are great.
I'm going to fuck Conti up.
I know so, and I'm not even your cock.
James doesn't even take it in the mouth.
Jerk me off.
I love the taste of peanuts.
Probably. Crying, I can go just as fast with two.
You know how easy it is to get pants off a guy who's a quadriplegic?
You look good from behind.
I have hemorrhoids.
I want dick.
Ooh, that'll go right around a hemorrhoid.
And I wonder if we'll remember when we were two little boys.
Put an ice cube up your ass and show your cock.
Jesus, do I feel gay.
ContiKenny.com. Monday night, 7 to 10 on Cringe Humor Radio.
He's a great kisser.
One, two, three. You know what I'm having for the first time today?
Period.
I love you.
I love you.
What?
I just have a cavity of dryness.
But it's one that you could actually put in your mouth.
I probably could do a bunch of guys in a hospital.
Oh my God, he's pulling it off.
I would masturbate for 2 weeks straight before I died.
And I'm fucking deep throating hard. Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle.
I would rather be dead than not have cock.
Mine may be hard.
I have to rinse my balls off first.
My tranny is going.
Now I have no cock.
I know you're an old fuck.
And you have rubber dickies.
You're not gonna suck it. Get out.
I'm okay. I'm a swinger.
That's a cock joke.
You want to call my sister?
The Conti and Kenny Show.com.
Thank you.
Joe's? Where's my G.I. Joe? Why you always try to let your mustache grow? You let your mustache grow. That my father was my mother, and my mother was my dad. I know it's kind of crazy, but it really wasn't that bad. My mother was my dad.
Conti and Kenny Show.
Two guys with regular sized dicks.
That's right. Two guys with regular sized dicks.
Well, good mushrooms.
I don't know if I have a good mushroom. It's covered up by a flower petal. I don't know.
Yours is a truffle. See it covered in the ground.
You know what it looks like? It looks like it almost looks like if a wine if you had a wine bottle wrapped up, you know, in like the gift thing, but then you untied the top and it was like hanging low. So it looked like a wine bottle turned upside down with the wrapper on, just dangling. You know what? Just pretend I never even started that.
My mushroom will give you hallucinations, and yours has to be dug out by a pig.
Shit, man. Welcome back to the show, everybody. If you're listening in podcast, Colorado Dickhead just came in the room. Hey, fuckers, miss anything good? You sure did. Excuse me. The phone number, if you want to call in, it's Skype. It is NPN Studios. I got to call Frank this week, see if we can come up with a new phone number. You got to, if you want stickers, Conti and Kenny stickers, email us or DM us on Twitter. And email us at Conti and Kenny at AOL. And send us your address, and we'll ship out some stickers for you. And don't forget to subscribe to the Conti and Kenny Shorts. I think I'm going to try to do another one this week, Kenny. I got enough material to do a number 9. The number 8.
Nice.
Yeah, so
They're coming out really, really good, dude.
Yeah. Awesome job. Thanks, man. Just trying to, going with what we got. So, but yeah, definitely get Conti and Kenny shorts. Go to ContiandKenny.com or just go to iTunes and subscribe. And they're good. There's only 8 of them so far, and they're all about, 20, 30 minutes tops. And you get like 4 or 5 different bits. So, but please indulge, in case you can't listen to the whole show. There are a lot of people that come in, they listen for like, half hour, 45 minutes. It's a Monday night, it's live, there's football, there's that awful, awful Dancing with the Stars. Like, dude, America is watching Dancing with the Stars on Monday night. Like, this is what it's come down to, watching celebrities learn how to dance. Like, who gives a shit? Like, I can't imagine wasting my month. Look, if I'm going to waste my Monday night, I'm wasting it the way I'm going to do it, the way we've been doing it since 2005, wasting our time doing this show. I am not wasting my time watching this, Dancing with the Stars. Who?
Yeah, the only way that I'm going to watch that is if it's some retired fucking football player dancing, and I'm Joe Pesci in Goodfellas with fucking Spider. That's the only way it's going to happen.
It's just enraging. Like, really? This is what America's... Hey, look, I get it. I get the football. It's Monday Night Football, and it doesn't get the... Because unless you're a hardcore football fan and, you don't need to watch every Monday night game unless it's your team or, you really want to see the game. But, just what in the hell, man? Like, how... This is what they're watching on Monday nights, dude, 8 o'clock. I didn't realize that today. I was watching TV, and they said the commercial for it. I was like, this is what everybody's watching? They could be listening to this garbage. They could be listening to us.
I'd rather be watching the Zapruder film over and over again than fucking Dancing with the Stars. Any shuttle tragedy, any school shooting, I'd rather watch that.
All right, I got to tell you something, dude. Last week, I forgot to mention it on the show. Like a week and a half ago, I'm driving home, right? And I'm on, I remember where I was. It's like 9/11. I seem to remember where I was when it happened. It's only because it was a week and a half ago. And I get a phone call, right, on my phone. And it comes to my Bluetooth in my car. And it's like a 302 area code. So I, and usually... I don't know why I did it, but for this one, I answered. Whenever it's a number that I don't recognize or an 800 number, I don't answer it because it's somebody that I owe money to. And I'm like,
if it's important, just leave a message. I'll get right back to you.
Well, yeah, and they'll leave a message, But for some reason, I said, let me get this. Now I have these delusions of grandeur that it might be a booker, calling me, God forbid, looking to book me somewhere. So, I pick up, and I hear somebody with, a bad Chinese accent, right? And they're going, you here to pick up? What time you get here to pick up food? I'm like, what? And they're like, you come pick up. I'm like, no, I'm not picking up. And he's like, and he's obviously somebody trying to fuck with me, right? And they go, what time you come? I'm like, I'm not. He goes, no, seriously. What time you be there? And then finally I go, 10 minute. Right? I just went, 10 minute. And he go, oh, okay. And then I hear like a thing. And then they go, you've just been phoned. You've just been prank dialed. Prankdial.com. Pew, pew, pew. And then they hung up. I got prank dialed on my fucking cell phone. It's a service called prankdial.com. Somehow they got my number and did the Chinese accent. So it was...
It was a live person?
I think it was a live call because he went with what I was doing. And once I said... And I just joked and I went... And he goes, what time you get here? I go, 10 minute. And he giggled. And then I heard like a click. And then a recording came on. And the recording was, you've just been prank dialed. I'm like, nah, I want to say, I think I got you. Because, you're a fucking jack-off. Like, they're calling your cell phones now from these numbers. And
I remember a couple of years ago, whatchamacallit, I got the one from I believe it was It Girl after a while we found out. But it was like, hi, Kenny. and said my name, and it sounded very, you know, hi, Kenny. We met in the bar the other night, and I have your number, and I just wanted to, you know, something like that. And it's right. like, you've been pranked by Captain Morgan.
And you get pranked by Captain Morgan every night. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very true. But it was a Captain Morgan thing that you could dial in. It says your name. And then there was another one. It was like, oh, you slamming girl. And it was for me also.
Really?
That one was true, though.
This is what they're... I mean, it's like, really? This, and they're calling... It's bad enough that we're getting basically telemarketers calling our cell phones now, and not because of the minutes. You know, I don't give a shit. We all have unlimited minutes, but it's just such an invasion of your fucking... Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. Look, I get it if I owe you money, but it's like, really, like, prank? I needed to get prank dialed? Like, and who's, like, whose idea was this? And who's making money on this?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Unless it was, I mean, you could probably look up crankcalldial.com or something like that.
Probably.
You know what I mean? I never even went
on the website. I called the number back and just to see, you know? And
what was it, prankcalls.com?
I think it was prankdial.com. You know what? I never even checked it. Let me check it up. Way to do show prep, Conti. .com.
Prankdial.com. There you go.
Oh, so looks like if you... is that what this is? So if you want to fucking prank... You want to prank dial somebody? Prank phone calls? Let's see. What can we
do? You know what? You can play some of these. It's pre-recorded. They're pre-recorded. They're just... you can see there's a couple of them.
Really? How sad is this? Like, people don't have prank phone... Let's see. Prank phone calls. Oh, it kind of... It doesn't really... Oh, and then you go and there's send prank phone calls, free prank phone calls. So it's obvious for people that can't do a prank so they can...
Well, it says then pick a prank call below. Then send a prank call to your friends. So it's obviously somebody you know. Because they have to enter the phone number.
Fuck.
You know. Yeah, what? And they're pre-recorded. Where's my paper? Why you call my boyfriend? Why you call my girlfriend? You hit my car.
Oh, stop it. Oh, wait, let me see. I prank dialed Big T from Hooter and Grandway like a year ago with one. You can play the first 5 seconds just to hear how bad it is. Ooh, let's see. He put the link in here. Let's see.
Hello? Surprise! I bet you never expected to hear from me again.
Who is this?
It's me, Mike Simon. Oh, my God, it's been years.
Mike Simon?
Wait, you really don't remember me? It's me, Mike Simon. We went to school together?
I don't know who you think you're talking to. We didn't go to school.
We were like really good friends once, and now I can't believe you don't remember me.
What school did we go to?
Oh, you know, things haven't been going too good with me lately, and I just thought, you know what? Maybe I should reconnect with the people that used to make me happy. But now I find out that those same people forgot I ever existed? Wow, what a kick in the pants.
What school do we go to?
You know what?
Oh, boy.
Truth is, I never liked you either. How about that? And you know what I'm going to do now? The same thing that you used to do to me. I hope your ear is close to the phone.
Oh, boy.
Well, Ewok's not going to be happy about this next one.
No?
From Zeps.
What the hell?
Cake and pie and chocolate and sweets.
What the fuck that is this? Is what he- Oops. Oh, there was something else on White Ass Brent.
Can you play a couple of samples on the webpage, on the website?
Yeah, let me see. And see it was a prank.
I don't even know if it's worth it.
Yeah, it probably isn't. But so that's what it's come down to, kids. I think that was bullying. I'll be honest. I think Big T was bullied. I'm not sure who the fuck Big T is, but he was bullied, and I think White Ass Brent should be punished. And by punished, meaning that we send him clips of our show, and somehow get it to play throughout all of the speakers in his house and torture his family by listening to this program. No?
Yeah, no, I'm just reading Scrambler. That was fucking awful. White Ass Brent, it was bad, but it was fun at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I guess everything that's bad is fun at 3 a.m., I guess. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Have you ever, I remember there was one time we were at a Dunkin' Donuts when they had payphones inside.
Mm-hmm.
And me and a friend of mine, and we're going to prank this girl Lisa's house. And her dad picks up one of the funniest things I've ever seen. The dad picks up, and my friend freezes up and doesn't know what to do because I can hear him go, hello, because my head is by the phone also. And okay. He freezes up and just goes, and hangs up.
That was his prank call?
Yeah, he totally blew it. He was going to do every, he was going to do like, I don't know, fucking police sergeant or some bullshit, you know? Right. You know, some kind of a drug thing or something. And right. He just went, right. He was like, hello? And then it was like about a second and a half of silence. He just went, blah, blah, blah.
me and my friend, we used to do this when we got, remember when we got like, of course it was call waiting, but remember when you can do the, what do you call it? Like if I'm talking to you, Kenny, then three-way, right,
right.
So what it was, me and a friend, we'd be on the phone, and then...
Three-way caused so many fucking fights in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
So many, because, you know, the person would, you know, you'd be quiet, and the other person would be like, so what do you think about Kenny? Oh, he's a fucking jerk-off. This is between me and you. Yeah, it's between me and you. And you wouldn't be saying anything, and you're like, this motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. So what we used to do is, me and my friend, we'd be on the phone, and then we would both have a phone book. And we would look up a person with the same last name. And we would usually use an Asian guy or an Indian guy. I know an Indian is a type of Asian, but go with it. And so what we do is he would look up somebody and I would. And it would be like both Mr. Wang, right? So we would both die. We go, all right, ready? We both click at the same time. Then, because what happens if you do three-way, right? If I'm on the phone with you, Kenny... Then I click you hit the receiver, then you dial the other number. When that starts to ring, you hit it again. Now you're connected. So what it is, it's me and my friend, then he dialed somebody and I dialed somebody. So there's four of us on the line. So if the timing worked out good, is they both picked up around the same time. Sometimes it wouldn't and it wouldn't work. We would just have to hang up. But if they both pick up right around the same time, what happened was if the one would pick up, we would go, Mr. Wang? And then we'd go, hello? And then the other guy would pick up. Hello? Mr. Wang? Hello? And it would be back and forth of them talking because they both thought that each guy called them. So now they're both talking to each other and they're both saying, you called me. No, you called me. And they start yelling at each other. Then it gets quiet. Right. Then it gets quiet. And then my friend would go, Mr. Wang? And then they'd start fucking screaming at each other again.
That's funny.
Yeah, it worked, dude. It was good. It worked, man. We were 19. We're fucking pathetic. We were out of high school doing that shit. Yeah, because this was like 1990, you know, 1989. So we got the three way. So we used to do shit like that. That was about it for the. I mean, we did the prank calling where you call up like a pizzeria and I don't know. I don't even remember. It was just so fucking pathetic.
Yeah, I've done a few pranks, but they're good when they pan out. You know, like me and Zool, the comedian Zool or Psycho Zool, pranked the Jerry Lewis telethon for about 4 hours, high as fucking Georgia pine. On you were there when we were in the boathouse.
Yeah, yeah. Colorado and, dickhead said, "Quit pretending you know about three ways." So. Yeah, when you guys, I remember I was there that weekend, and you guys were up till like fucking 5 in the morning calling the Jerry Lewis telethon as different voices.
it was brilliant, man. It was the funniest fucking thing. It got to the point so bad that they were like, hello, like these guys again. And then we got so high that we got paranoid about the Federales.
Oh, yeah,
so
of course.
We're like, this is like a funded... We can get a lot of trouble, you know, because we were using our cell phones. You know what I mean?
It's true.
So, yeah, we were like, oh, shit. It was fun while it lasted. Then you're like, then you're shitting yourself. You're like, oh, man.
That's great.
Yeah, you have to play those phone pranks. And I mentioned recently one of the other classic wasn't a prank. But remember what the Department of Corrections, when they called me?
Department of Corrections.
Remember I told you it was that was on the air, right? When wasn't that on the air?
I don't. I'm not sure.
When I got the call. You have a collect call from Jamal, like 5 times.
Oh yeah.
and then it was after I didn't pick up. He's like, it's like you have a collect call from. I'm gonna kill your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick up the phone, bitch. You have a collect call from. I'm gonna kill you.
I remember that. Yeah, that's funny. Hey, you want to hear this? Since we just celebrated. Halloween. You want to hear this one story about a kid who had a controversial outfit?
Sure. Real quick, on a Halloween note, I was flying back Halloween night, and there was the one guy I had to. We flew from. I was flying from. It was fucking Halloween. For some reason, the only flight I could get was from Springfield to Chicago, Chicago to Boston, Boston home. For some reason, it was like 10:45 in the morning. I didn't get in until like 8 o'clock at night. Anyway, I forget which one it was. I don't know if it was Chicago to Boston or Boston to Newark, but it was cringeworthy of the guy. He was like, "Well, we're gonna fly over Poughkeepsie, and we're gonna
Poughkeepsie."
Like, he was trying to put like spooky names into the cities that we were flying over.
You know what? How about getting me there landed safe, Jerkoff?
Exactly.
How about no big dips and no turbulence today? How about that?
Yeah, and that's how he said it. He's like, we're gonna be flying over Poughkeepsie in a little roundabout way towards and he was matching names with changing them into spooky names.
Oh, mom, and scream it literally all.
Was, I had to put my head in my hand. And just like rub my eyebrows on, like you put your elbow down.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, Jesus. Just knock it off and fly the fucking plane.
Yeah, we're going to go to Screamectady.
Exactly. Yes, yes. That's exactly what he was doing.
Oh, we're going to go to.
Scrambler says, Kenny, you need to kick your travel agent in the nuts.
Oh, just the worst, dude. That's just the worst. Oh, just get me there safe, stupid, with no delays and no big dips in, turbulence, because I'm scared.
No, it was the turbulence. You would have shit your face off if you flew that day. We flew completely through the cold front, and then we followed it to the East Coast. We flew up it and then flew with it to the East Coast the entire time.
Oh, so it was just you were just rumbling the whole time?
Rumbling the whole time. It was kind of comical seeing them trying to pass waters out and stuff, cups of water.
Right.
You know, I get my 2 vodka and OJs because I'm getting a car service on the way home. Right. So I'm just sitting there. I slug one real fast, and then I have to ride the turbulence out with my hand over the glass,
right.
So it doesn't spill.
Colorado Dickhead asked, "Who was your pilot? The Crip Keeper?"
Exactly.
Did he have to? Oh, did you, when you got off, did you have to Scarlel Park? Get it? Parallel Park? Colorado Dickhead coming up with a couple of doozies. Scarlel Park.
It's exactly. And you were just like, oh, Jesus.
We're going to do a KKK turn. Get it? That's scary. Anyway, you know what? That's a very good segue into our story. Ready for this?
Sure.
Here we go.
Only Grant's Mattress Express.
Shut up. Stupid advertising. I should have just recorded it. But no. No, I couldn't do that.
What's the best or worst costume you ever had?
Hold
as
on.
A kid?
I'll tell you that in a second.
Right.
Here we go.
New at 11, Halloween is over, but the controversy surrounding a costume is continuing after a Craigsville boy dressed as a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
WHSV's Annalisa Gale met with the mother of that boy who wanted to clear the air.
John, I also met with Jackson Black, who is wearing this costume
ironic.
That you see here. This picture was posted to our Facebook page by a viewer. It stirred up a lot of controversial comments that we have since removed. A word of caution, this story may be hard for children to watch. It's a
Halloween costume that is a family tradition is creating a stir in the town of Craigsville.
My brother has when he was in kindergarten and when he was 13.
Now, this kid's like six, all right, Kenny?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the mother talk. And by the way, the mother looks like she's a fat 15-year-old, okay? Listen to what she says.
That's why when Jessica Black's 7-year-old son asked if he could also dress as a member of the white supremacist group, the Ku Klux Klan, she made the costume for him.
Because it was cool.
What was cool about it?
The hat.
I did tell him that, you know, if you do it, you know there's going to be people talking about you. There's going to be people that say bad things to you when you do wear it.
Neighbors say this is one of several streets, Brook Hollow Road, that Jackson was seen trick-or-treating. They say they were shocked when they saw his costume.
I just think it's really sad, like, that a kid is being taught that young, because they don't know any better. You don't hear that much about it nowadays.
When I asked Jackson Black where he had learned of the costume, he said he saw it in the movie Fried Green Tomatoes. His mom maintains there is nothing wrong with the costume or the Ku Klux Klan, which she says still exists in Craigsville.
It's supposed to be white with white, black with black, man and with woman, and all of that. That's what the KKK stands for. The KKK every year raises money to donate to the St. Jude's.
Will you still wear the costume?
Yes. It's not okay. You're offending a lot of people by one little action.
Jessica Black says she has received several threats via Facebook because of this photo of Jackson that was posted on our Facebook page.
So hilarious.
It was clear after speaking with Jackson Black.
Yeah,
that
it's obvious that the kid doesn't know. You know what I mean? The kid's like six.
He has no idea.
But it's hilarious because, you know, it's great. There's a new guest in the chat now known as Conti is a Nazi.
Yeah, I just saw that.
That's so not nice. So this woman, she obviously, it wasn't like, oh, you know what, I didn't realize, or I thought it would be kind of cute. She's like, no, you don't, you know, you don't understand. You know, the Klan, they get money to St. Jude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of Klan in this town. And you know you're 7 years old, but you're going to get your ass whooped.
See, this
is... So make sure you just be careful.
Yeah. This is obviously another parent who want... She, look, she obviously is an idiot. Look, not, look, whatever. She's going to have her beliefs. And black, we're black. White, we're white. Not even for that. The fact that you put your fucking kid in harm's way by right. fucking putting him in this fucking suit. Listen, have your own dumb beliefs. You know, I'm not even going to fucking call her an idiot because she thinks the Klan, you know, do good things. I'm calling her an idiot because she obviously wanted to bring some attention to herself because she had this kid when she was a fat 15-year-old, and now she has no life whatsoever, and she's looking for a little bit of attention because the guy who fucking dropped one in her probably doesn't talk to her, or if he does, he's miserable living with her, and she's a piece of garbage parent. Piece of garbage parent because she put her kid in fucking harm's way and brought negative attention to her 6-year-old child. That's that. You want to talk about fucking overprotective parents and pussification?
And what the fuck 6-year-old kid is going to watch Fried Green Tomatoes?
Yeah, I didn't even realize
that's
that.
Ridiculous. Hey, you want to watch Power Rangers? No, mommy, I want to watch Fried Green Tomatoes.
Conti is a Nazi in the chat room said, would you say she has a final solution? I'm guessing, but it's just, it's like the same parents that named their kid Adolf Hitler. It's like, you're obviously doing this for you. This isn't about your kids. It's the ultimate sign that you're a shitty parent because you're being selfish. It's one thing I've learned is that when you become a parent, you become selfless. You know, it's all about your kids. And maybe people take it a little too much. But look, if she gave a shit about her kid, she would have said,
a six-year-old watching Fried Green Tomatoes is like giving him a 1,000-page book that has nothing on each page, and he has to flip through each one. Just
I won't even
page.
Watch Fried Green Tomatoes, you know?
I won't even eat Fried Green Tomatoes.
Oh, it's just a terrible job as a parent because you put yourself before your kid, not so you can go to school. I'm not saying that. You know what I mean? Like some parents, they put their kids so much in front of them that they lose things out of life. You put yourself before your kid because you thought it. You knew that this was going to draw attention. You are not that dumb. Well, not even dumb, naive to think that nobody was going to say anything and there wasn't going to be news fucking people at your door. You're a fat, selfish twat and your kid should be taken away because you didn't think about your kid. You were thinking about yourself. Thank you.
And that's all I have to say about
that. That's all I got to say about that. We got to keep the blacks with the blacks and, you know, separate it and make sure we got a pure race of white people and black people. White ass Brent, Conti's worst costume that has haunted him to this day was a four-way stop sign. I dress like a four-way stop sign. My best costume, I've had a couple of really best costumes, Kenny. In 98, I dressed up like Sonny Bono after the ski accident. That was a great costume. I got a lot of, I went to a big, huge costume party. That was a lot of fun. So I had like, you know, a little tree branch in my head, blood. I had like the like a bandage on my head, ski jacket, a vote for Bono white T-shirt.
Conti is a Nazi. The easiest way to avoid explaining something to your child is to, have an abortion before the first trimester. So this fucking guy.
Conti is a Nazi is a douchebag, but he's very funny.
Yeah,
so that was one of my better costumes. In 99, me and my old roommate, we went as the Honeymooners, Ralph and Ed, and we won a costume party. We won $500 for the best costumes because we not only dressed as them, we were playing the parts of Ralph and Ed. And back then, I was skinny enough that I had to put a big pouch in my belly to make me look big. Fuck. I was like 220. I was a fucking monster.
My favorite one, my mother made me a... she made it herself. She made it herself from scratch. Fucking Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi. Ew. After he's the Jedi...
Very cool.
You know, he's got the black suit, with the gray, with the brown.
I've never seen it, but I know what it looks like.
Oh, it was just fantastic.
That's cool.
Oh man, I wore it for like 3 weeks.
That's great, man. Yeah. Oh, and I was in high
school.
The
other one was good. What's that?
In high school, my junior year, me and my friend, we dressed up as heaven and hell. So I was dressed as an angel and he was dressed as a devil. And I had our friend of ours' father was a carpenter, so he made us two identical big, huge crosses. And I wore the cross, and then he wore it upside down. And then my senior year, I dressed up like Ozzy Osbourne, the cover of his Diary of a Madman album, and that was phenomenal. There's pictures of that on my Facebook. But, yeah, those are probably my favorite costumes that I wore. And
yeah, what's that?
I was saying end scene because I didn't hear from you, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was buzzing a little bit over here. But my costume, my Stan Laurel wasn't bad a couple of years ago.
It's
on my Facebook, I believe.
Oh, yeah,
that was
yeah.
A pretty good one.
Yeah, that was. Also, I forgot too. Like in 2002, I went to. One of James's friends, who I'm friends with now, my friend Dan, they had a big party, and then we went on a, where you go around, you have to do certain things at night, and then what do you call, you know, like you have to go find this and...
What is it? What are you guys, rapists?
No. You had to go. It was like
scavenger hunt.
Yes, a scavenger hunt. Right. So me and this girl that I was friends with, we went to the party. I dressed up as a sheik, and she was dressed as in a burqa from head to toe. And all I kept doing was hitting her with a stick, calling her an infidel whore the whole night. It was fucking hilarious. And dude, you have to realize something. This was Halloween 2002. So this was a year and a fucking month after September 11th. And we're running around Halloween night. I'm dressed as a sheik, but the old school sheiks with the stripes and all that, with the fucking thing on their head, you know, like the little hat. It wasn't like an Arab. I was dressed like an actual sheik. And she was dressed in a burqa from like fucking head to toe. It was fantastic.
Oh, I remember one Halloween, my stepfather and my mother, they were Gumby and Pokey. Remember back in the 80s when Gumby and Pokey resurfaced?
Yeah, because of Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was like mid-80s, probably 1984, 85. And, you know, my mom's dressed as Pokey, and they get in the house, and my stepfather's whipped. Hammered. Yeah. And she starts fighting with him, hitting him. So I was on the steps, and I'm watching, you know, I'm like leaning down, and there's like two levels of steps, like called a landing, and I'm peeking around, and I'm watching. This is where I viewed all my mother's fights with her husbands. Okay. You know what I mean, just in case I needed to jump in or something, but I just wanted to see it. And he's ass down he's on his ass, and she's still in, they're both still in fucking their clothes. So he's got you know, the green. She made a pokey thing out of this like kind of foamy kind of stuff. It was all green, and his face is painted green, and she's like beating the shit out of him. And he's just on his ass next to the door, just like taking it, you know, like barely being able to like defend himself because he got really drunk. And you know, she's in a pokey uniform just busting his ass, and then you can see like the makeup starting to smear. You know what I mean?
Dude, scrambling in the chat room talking about my dressing up like a sheik with the girl in the burqa. He asked, did you put her in the camel clutch later that night?
Oh, you saw
scrambling, that's fucking hilarious, man. And you put her in a camel clutch. Shit, man. That's funny. But yeah, those are probably my best costumes. The Heaven and Hell, I was Ozzy, then I was the Arab, and Sonny Bono, and Ralph Crampton. Those are my best.
I never dressed up much.
That's it. There's though. One of pretty much drag. That, and I don't really remember dressing up anything else. So,
yeah, there is one me like I don't know, eighth grade or something. I'm dressed up in girls' clothes, makeup on, the whole thing. So it's pretty cute. Had little stretchy pants.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was May when you were doing it. The only reason you wore a skirt because it was getting warm out.
It was at my sister's christening in July.
You jumped out of a fucking cake. Oh man, that's so funny, dude. But yeah, that's a. You didn't do any. Now you were traveling on.
I was on the plane. Yep.
Yeah.
Just fucking sitting on the plane with the fucking bad joke captain.
Oh God, yeah, you know, going over. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, we're going over, you know, Cleveland,
Poughkeepsie. We're gonna fly over Poughkeepsie and land in
Poughkeepsie. Oh,
yeah, and it was. You could see what right. I was all the way in the back of the plane, and some of the people that caught on to it were like, oh, Jesus, like, just don't even try it. Yeah. He was all happy about it. He thought
he was digging it, huh?
Oh, he wasn't even fucking joking around. No, he had thought about this all. He probably done it four times today.
He probably had it written down, too. He probably, you know, he was doing some work, and he was like, you know what, let me write up some funny towns that we're flying over, you know, and, you know, write them up, make them nice.
Yeah, it really works well for Norwegian tourists to know where Boo Kipsey is. No fucking idea. They're on their way to Skarsgård. I don't know fucking Boo Kipsey is.
Yeah, you know. It's like,
shut up and start the engines, you fuckface.
Yeah, we're flying over Miami Screech right now. It's like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Who cares? Just fucking fly the plane, stupid.
Exactly.
Like Johnny Watson.
When we touch down, we're going to screech a little bit.
Yeah, like Johnny Watson says, just pay attention to the fucking buttons on the fucking dashboard that light up and say danger. You know what I mean? Just pay attention. Don't worry about the jokes. And, you know, that's it. That's all I got to say. Fuck them.
Yeah, but I didn't see, like, in the airport, I guess the, whatchamacallit, you don't really want your flight attendants dressing up. You know, like a lot of them are gay guys.
Were they dressing up for Halloween?
No. Oh, I don't think they can. But, you know, I have like a gay guy and he's dressed like Michael Douglas and Liberace just handing me a bag of crackers.
Yeah.
It'd be awkward. Just him sauntering down the aisle, you know, little hear like little jingling bells.
Yeah. soda, peanuts, anybody? Meet me in the bathroom.
Soda, peanuts, HIV.
Soda, peanuts, anybody have a Nixon mask? Oh, it's like, just fly the plane, please. That's all I ask. All right.
Well, shit, already?
Yeah, pretty much, man. Yeah, we're just about done. You know, you didn't get in until like 7:45, you know? Like, we didn't really get started until after I took a break. So, that's about it, man. So, you're definitely going to be back next week, huh?
Yes, I will be back in studio.
That's
hopefully
awesome.
For an extended period of time.
I'm so looking forward to you being back in the studio. Should be a really good time, my friend. A long time, dude. What's it been, over a month?
Yeah, it's been almost 2 months.
It's been almost 2 months.
Yeah, studio. Probably about a month, and by next week it'll be 2 months.
Wow, you didn't do one. I thought you did like one show where you were in studio and then you were gone, like during the whole thing. No.
Well, I landed. I guess Saturday, September 28th in Houston. So I haven't done a show since September, probably, I guess, 23rd.
Holy shit. So the whole month of October.
Somewhere around there.
Wow. All right. Well.
Yeah. October and half of November.
Definitely looking forward to you coming back, brother.
Me too.
Let's get the plugs out of the way and then we can bullshit a little bit. I want to thank everybody in the chat. I want to thank Scrambler for calling in. Little Matt, Glenn, White Ass Brent, Hippo Juice Sean. All you guys, thank you so much. You guys are friggin' hilarious. We appreciate you guys not watching Dancing with the Stars and checking out our show. Follow us on Twitter account. The show is at C and K Show. That's the word and. Mine is at Joe Conti Comic. Kenny's is at Kenny Michaels 5. Like our Facebook page. Also, subscribe to the podcast. Go to ContiandKenny.com or MoreLikeRadio.com or iTunes. And if you want to subscribe to Shorts, Conti and Kenny Shorts, go to ContiandKenny.com and also go to iTunes. And download the TuneIn app. Go on your phone right now if you're listening in podcast and download the free TuneIn app and go in and search More Like Radio. Then take it and push on the little heart. That means favorites. Now you have us in your favorites. So if you want to listen to us or any other program on More Like Radio, you can listen live and also get my DVD, CD, or just download it on iTunes or CD Baby. Go to JoeConti.com. And some friends of the show, some websites, JJComedy.com, North Jersey's best comedy, JJComedy.com. Go to Life-Forever.com. That's our pal DeChrome's website. Also go to GodHatesBrickStone.com. And also our new friend from last week, MetalAsylum.net. And our friend Rich. And a few podcasts besides the shows on the platform here. MetalBreakfastRadio.com, David Ingram, Donovan Spensley, Unlearned.tv with Rich and Tony, I Don't Know Joe Show, that's Joe Fernandez's podcast, the It's All About Me Show with Howls and Rorschach, and also Pod Cheese with my friend Benny Michaels. Check out those shows, and that's about it, bro.
Also, with Scrambler, he says, thanks again for letting me hang out, guys. Great show. So, The Red Show, and we also got H.J. Sean, who was actually Conti is a Nazi.
Yeah, I heard.
That's who that was.
Oh, look, real quick, going to land in Bourke instead of Newark. Fort, ready for this? Fort Slaughterdale. And Boo York yes. City.
Boo York City,
that's
yes.
Colorado that's- dickhead. Very
fucking
good.
Way to pull that one
that
out,
pal.
That
was great. Way to end a fucking show because we couldn't end it on a high note. So
yeah,
at least
I
you did.
Think of anything. Boo York City. Fucking brilliant. Fort Slaughterdale.
Yeah, Fort Slaughterdale. I'm going to land in Bourke instead of Newark. Oh, that's awesome, man. All right. So let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, thanks. I guess I'm not sure. I think Lust and Love is after us, but I haven't
yes,
seen anybody move.
Lust
around.
And Love. Yep. She, I talked to her today. They will be coming on. I think they're going to try to call in, but I guess it didn't happen. So, all right, let's get the hell out of here. I'll see you guys next week, and Kenny will be in studio.
I'll be in studio.
All right, bye everybody.
All right,
peace.
Take care, pals.
Later.
Loser, I'll see you next week.